KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protected at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, well, we are very early on in the Joe Biden presidency, and it seems like this thing could be theoretically kind of over already. It is pretty obvious that next year Republicans have a solid leg up when it comes to the possibility of taking the House. And now it looks as though they have a very solid shot of taking the Senate, if polls are to be believed from places like New Hampshire, where John Sununu is now up something like 7 or 8 points on his Democratic opponent. If Republicans take back Congress, Joe Biden effectively gets nothing done for the next couple of years, which means he has a very short window of time to ram things through. Here is the problem. In order for him to ram things through, he needs complete solidarity, particularly in the Senate, where he has a 50-50 split with the Republicans, with Kamala Harris, his vice president, breaking the tie. Again, that wouldn't have happened if Donald Trump had not intervened in the Georgia Senate races and talked all about how Georgia's voting system was a complete waste of time and all of this. Be that as it may, put that aside. The bottom line here is that he still has a very, very narrow pathway to getting things done in the United States Senate. And that requires solidarity among Democrats. In order to cudgel people like Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin into doing what Joe Biden wants, he really needs to have some coattails. Because here's the thing. When it comes to things like budget reconciliation, you can do this thing with 50 votes. Pretty much everything else, you require 60. Manchin and Sinema, who are both from red states. Sinema, you might say, is from a purple state, but one of the reddest states in the country is West Virginia. Neither of them are going to break the filibuster. They've made this very clear over and over and over, no matter how many times the activist media asks them about it. So that means that basically everything has to get done through budget reconciliation. Well, the giant omnibus packages that are being pushed by Joe Biden are not on their face particularly pleasant for either of those senators, for either Sinema or for Manchin. They're not popular in Arizona. They're not popular in West Virginia. And remember, senators are not answerable to the quote-unquote national polling. They are answerable specifically to the people who are in their own states. So the chances are that Manchin and Sinema are not going to be super happy with these giant policy proposals, which means the only reason why they would do what Joe Biden wants is if they believe that Joe Biden's coattails are strong enough to carry them through, even in red/purple states, that he's overwhelmingly popular, and therefore they will be able to go back to their voters and say, we did all of these things because Joe Biden told us to do all of these things, and therefore it is good that we did all of these things. If Joe Biden's popularity craters, therefore, his chances of being able to ram through his agenda completely fall apart. If he had a broader majority, maybe his approval ratings wouldn't matter so much. But his approval ratings matter an awful lot, especially because waiting in the wings, and everybody knows this, is Kamala Harris, who's a deeply unpopular politician. So if you're Joe Manchin charting your political future and thinking to yourself, am I still here in 4 or 5 years? Do I get reelected? You're going to hitch your wagon to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Or are you going to chart your own course? Same thing for Kyrsten Sinema over in Arizona. She has pretty good approval ratings. The reason she has pretty good approval ratings is because she's seen as a sort of Democratic version of John McCain. Like sort of a maverick character willing to buck her own party and say tough things to the people inside her own party about, for example, the filibuster or about too much spending. So this now puts enormous power in the hands of Joe Manchin, and that power only grows when Joe Biden is not good at his job. So that means it matters an awful lot whether Joe Biden is liked or whether he is disliked on the national stage. And that's why it matters that his poll numbers have been absolutely cratering. Now, they're cratering for basically one specific reason and then one general reason. So the specific reason is because of Afghanistan. The general reason is because Joe Biden is a houseplant. So he was elected because he was a houseplant, right? But he was a houseplant who's supposed to provide stability. The thing about houseplants is that they are barely alive, they cover the water stain, and they don't move around a lot. But Joe Biden, elected as a houseplant, is actually turning out to be the plant from Little Shop of Horrors, right? He's eating everything else. He's, in terms of policy, he's very much alive, even though in terms of sentience, he is not. And so if you voted for Joe Biden, or if you are somebody in the middle who's kind of warm to Joe Biden, you're kind of getting the worst of both worlds. You're getting the non-sentient, non-charismatic president. Right? He's not like Obama in any of the areas of charisma or magnetism or personal draw. And you're getting the radical policy of Barack Obama, except on steroids, because actually Joe Biden's policies are way more radical than Barack Obama's were at this point, even in his presidency. And Obama was really radical on policy this early on in his presidency. And so every time Joe Biden now appears and seems to be doddering his way through a press conference, it hurts him rather than helping him. If he were a moderate and he were doddering his way through, people would be willing to say that that's kind of a feature, not a bug. All right, he's doddering, but the reason he's doddering is because we elected somebody to dodder. Okay, but if he's threatening and also doddering, now it just seems like things are spinning out of control. And so every press conference that he has where he seems incapable of holding it together is a serious problem for him. That's why the Afghanistan debacle made so clear that he is just not in control, right? Even when he makes a call, those calls are so incapable of meeting with any sort of good policy that this seems like an administration where the brakes have been taken off and you literally have an octogenarian in charge of the car driving directly at a crowd. And everybody's kind of freaking out about that. The future of this car is not good. Okay, so let's go to the doddering of Joe Biden, and then we'll get to the policy of Joe Biden. So when it comes to the doddering of Joe Biden, he just continues to lie and futz around. It really is not good for him. All of these things add up. Right? The way that people make decisions about politicians typically is that over and over and over, their preconceived notions about those politicians are either rejected or reinforced. Joe Biden every day is reinforcing the fact that he is not with us. Here was Joe Biden yesterday. He was doing a kind of meet and greet with a bunch of so-called Jewish leaders. I say so-called because a lot of the Jewish leaders that he was meeting with aren't particularly Jewish in any sort of religious sense. And they kind of lead Reconstructionist synagogues that don't reflect any of the principles of the Torah, that are not particularly interested in Jewish philosophy. But put that aside, Joe Biden is speaking to them. And he starts just telling lies about visiting the Tree of Life Synagogue. It turns out that he did not. The Tree of Life Synagogue, of course, was the site of the white supremacist shooting a couple of years ago. And he said he visited. He absolutely did not. He's just making things up.
I remember spending time at the, going to the Tree of Life Synagogue, speaking with them. It just is amazing these things are happening in America.
Okay, and then he started doddering through a story about his daughter's wedding. He couldn't remember what was going on. It's very awkward. I mean, it's your grandpa is wandering off script. You know, it's reminiscent. I think it's a Mitch Hedberg joke or a Jack Handy joke. You know, that when I go, I want to go like my grandfather did, peacefully in his sleep, not like the passengers in his car screaming. That's the Democratic Party at this point. Right? Here's Joe Biden again, kind of wandering off script into the cornfield.
My daughter married a Jewish young man. And I dream of every Catholic father that she married a Jewish doctor. But all kidding aside, he did. He's a great surgeon. And they played, and my mind's going blank now. What's the song that is played where everybody is on the chair? Everybody, what I can't remember it anyway. And that's the song that was played. So I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Inspiring stuff there from the President of the United States. And then he added on top of this, he starts talking about never again. Now, this is where you move from the senile to the rather unforgivable. Here's Joe Biden talking about never again, which, of course, is verbiage that is used surrounding the Holocaust, that we as the world will never allow this sort of stuff to happen again. I have some questions for Joe Biden about this particular perspective coming out of his face. Here's the President of the United States.
I guess the point I want to make is that it just shows that if we walk away from never again, it's going to happen again. It can't happen again. And so I guess the point I'm making is that the attack in Pittsburgh, those attacks, all anti-Semitic attacks, aren't just a strike against the Jewish community. They're a strike against the soul of our nation.
Okay, I'm just going to point out, when he says we can't allow never again to happen, this is the same president who is currently attempting to cut a deal with the genocidal Iranian regime to allow them a pathway to nuclear weapons. And this is the same president of the United States who is currently talking about opening a Palestinian consulate in Jerusalem, reopening the wounds of a process that has completely failed in incentivizing terror attacks in the region against Jews. This is the same president of the United States who, on another front, you want to talk about never again, just abandoned 38 million people to today's Nazis, the Taliban, who are literally going to go around just murdering everybody they don't like. This is already happening in Afghanistan right now. This is the same president who's been making kind overtures to China, which has become increasingly aggressive, meanwhile holding in Xinjiang 1 million Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps. So when this guy says, I'm anti, never again means something to me, no, it doesn't. It absolutely 100% is not. It's a bunch of words that he thinks he has to say in front of people. And here's the thing. He has no credibility on these issues. He just doesn't. His own administration has completely... Afghanistan is a perfect case in point. He literally just said, we're for human rights when we have to say things about it. But when we actually have to, do something basic, like leaving 2,500 troops there with no actual combat casualties in a support role, then I won't do that. He's so unwilling to stand up for human rights. I mean, don't talk the language of human rights if you're literally unwilling to make even the most minute sacrifices on behalf of human rights. And not just human rights, by the way, American interests in Afghanistan. But as long as he's going to be saying never again. There's in the Jewish community, there's been talk for decades about why it was that the Allies didn't bomb the rail lines during the Holocaust. Why didn't the Allies send a few planes and just bomb the rail lines that were connecting various cities to the concentration camps? And the defense has always been, it was the middle of a war. You have to use those bombs where they are best utilized, namely against Nazi troops in more strategically necessary areas. That's an open argument, historically speaking. Okay, but here, we are not even talking about even that kind of sacrifice. We are talking about the United States of America leaving in place people who are already there, doing the things they were already doing to prevent people from being shot in the face for walking in the street without a veil. And Joe Biden wasn't even willing to do that. So, no, I'm not particularly interested in hearing about never again from this doofus. His credibility is shot. It's shot. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, this summer, get out there, have a good time, and bring yourself a great pair of wireless earbuds. Because it makes the world better. When the world gets too loud, something you can always do is create your own soundtrack. Pop in your Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people, or for a workout, or to stay calm with some guided meditation. Let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort. Unlike some other brands, they don't stick out of your ears. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really, really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands. They sound just as good. And Raycons come with that 45-day happiness guarantee. So if you don't like them, you send them right back. You really can't lose. Create your own soundtrack in life with Raycon. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Once more, that is buyraycon.com/Ben to save 15% on your Raycon order today. Alrighty, coming up. So you have a houseplant of a president, and he's completely destroyed his own credibility when it comes to Afghanistan, obviously. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
When kids need medical care, they will often face stressful and life-changing experiences. They miss out on the things that make being a kid fun. Starlight Children's Foundation has delivered happiness to 17 million seriously ill kids and their families at more than 800 children's hospitals and healthcare facilities. Our programs entertain and inspire hospitalized kids. Learn more at starlight.org. That's starlight.org.
Furnished by Starlight Children's Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, he was never somebody who had a lot of ardent fans. Now he's destroyed whatever credibility he had on Afghanistan. The administration just has no defense for itself at this point. Ned Price, for example, the State Department spokesperson, he was freely admitting yesterday that the United States left several hundred U.S.-funded journalists in Afghanistan.
How many of those USAGM employees were there, or contractors, rather, and how many family members are there?
So I don't have a firm figure with me. It has been reported publicly that there are several hundred involved in that group.
Okay. Also, the AP's Matt Lee, who's a pretty good foreign policy reporter, he also grilled Price at how many green card holders are stuck over there. You just don't care about those people anymore, apparently.
You must have some estimate of LPRs who are still there who want to get out. And if you don't, why not?
Well, Matt, let me first start with this issue of the 100 to 200.
I'm just asking about green card holders. Was there a decision made at some point to forget about those people?
No.
And only allow U.S. passport holders in and onto into the airport through your checkpoints, not the Taliban checkpoints, but through your checkpoints and onto and onto planes, because a lot of them feel like they, frankly, got screwed here and that they were lied to.
And, of course, they were screwed and they were lied to. There are parades, by the way, of Taliban fighters who are walking around in suicide vests. So these are our new allies over in the Middle East. One reporter slammed the Pentagon's John Kirby, who, again, has become the Baghdad Bob of this particular operation, saying, you know, you keep saying this is a strategic success. I'm wondering exactly how.
How can the Department of Defense go before the American people, those military service members, and those veterans, and say that the mission was accomplished when people were left behind?
I think, Trace, we've been very clear that we don't believe the effort has concluded. The military mission of evacuation is over. We know there are people that didn't make it out, American citizens as well as special immigrant visa applicants, and the U.S. government is going to continue to look for ways to try to help them find safe passage out of the country.
Now, the media, predictably, are beginning to spin on behalf of the Biden administration throughout all of this. There's an entire piece in the New York Times today talking about how the Taliban are going to be pragmatic. They're going to be awesome. According to the New York Times' Max Fisher, as Taliban commanders exchange their guns for the reins of power, some 38 million Afghans can do little but hold their breath and wait to see how their latest conquerors will rule. That uncertainty, also palpable in foreign capitals from Washington to Beijing, is compounded by the deep contradiction between the group's record of extremism and brutality during its prior reign from 1996 to 2000 and its promises of moderation today. There's no uncertainty. They're lying. They're not going to be moderate. They're going to do exactly what they want to do. By the way, Beijing has already said they're going to recognize the Taliban regime. But, says Max Fisher, the Taliban are, depending on how one counts, something like the sixth or seventh rebel group to take over a country in the modern era. While no two are exactly alike, certain patterns have emerged in how rebels rule. Some learn to govern effectively, even to modernize. Others collapse in chaos or renewed war. Some grow crueler in power, lashing out at their subjects in fear and insecurity. Others moderate, though mostly in search of legitimacy and foreign aid. But all seem to share a few traits. A tightly bureaucratic authoritarianism, albeit sometimes allowing a degree of political opening. A focus on controlling or coercing elements of society seen as tied to the old order. And a quest for foreign support and recognition as they strain to overcome the pariah status that tends to greet militants who shoot their way into power. So we can expect them that probably they're going to be, you know, eventually they're going to turn into like regular ruling people seeking pragmatic relations with the rest of, or alternatively, they are going to continue being the bunch of drug running, which is how they supported themselves from 1960 to 2001, drug running, Beijing supported terror group that they've always been. But gotta swing that support back behind Biden. By the way, the fact checkers are doing yeoman's work on this. It's amazing. Like, if you just want to see what the Biden administration assigned fact checkers are doing today, check the right hand side of the Twitter feed. The Twitter feed every single day has some sort of fact check targeting a minor fact that was put out there that was wrong while ignoring the far broader narrative. So there'll be a fact check about how, you know, there was a helicopter and it was flying a guy around who's a member of the Taliban wearing a harness and it looked like maybe a guy was hanging from underneath and people mentioned this. That was not true. That was not true. Of course, the idea there is this is a very important fact check, super important. We're not going to fact check the president of the United States saying he always had a plan for this. We're not going to fact check the president of the United States saying no one expected that this thing was going to collapse as fast as it was. You're not going to fact check the president of the United States when he says this is historic success. Like, none of those things are worthy of a fact check. But it is worth a fact check that the person hanging from underneath the helicopter this time was not the body of an enemy. It was just a Taliban fighter, which means now it's good that they have our Black Hawk helicopters, obviously. The other fact check that made the rounds yesterday is the media attempting to defend Joe Biden for checking his watch repeatedly at the ceremony for the fallen at Dover Air Force Base. Okay, the USA Today actually had to change its own claim. They actually claimed it was outright false that Joe Biden checked his watch during the ceremony. Originally, they claimed it was outright false. Then it turns out there were multiple Gold Star family members who said, no, Joe Biden kept checking his watch over and over and over. I checked it 5, 10, 13 times during the actual ceremony honoring the fallen. So what did USA Today do? Did they revise their fact check? They only changed it to missing context. I'm not kidding you. They didn't say now that it's true that Joe Biden was checking his watch. They literally changed it to missing context. Here is their correction. This story was updated September 2nd to note that Biden checked his watch multiple times at the dignified transfer event, including during the ceremony itself. The rating on this claim has been changed from partly false to missing context. I was missing context, you see. It's amazing. They'll never just say Joe Biden checked his watch. By the way, the White House didn't even deny he checked his watch. Jen Psaki was asked about it. She avoided the question. But the media are in full spin mode for Biden because this has been very, very damaging for him. Don Lemon, who can always be counted on to defend the worst members of the Democratic administration, he said, you know, Biden's getting beat up too much on Afghanistan. Man, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it's not like he's unvaccinated or something.
You know, I think people should stop beating up on the administration so much because no matter how it ended, everyone wasn't going to be happy with the way it ended. So if there's any silver lining in this, it's going to be what happens going forward. You can't change the past. You can't bring those lives back, as awful as that is. And so, you know, I just think that sometimes, I think the administration is getting beaten up on this a little bit too much because there's a lot of blame to go around from four different presidents and who actually didn't have the guts to get us out of Afghanistan because they were afraid of this moment and what an exit might look like.
Man, that guy is just journalisming everywhere, all over the Biden administration. All over their head. I mean, it's just wild, the levels of journalism that are going on right now there from Don Lemon. It's really, really well done. AOC, by the way, also defending the administration. So when AOC is defending Biden, you know things have gone wildly wrong for the administration.
I don't know what the measure or expectation is of what a quote-unquote successful withdrawal is, but I hope people understand that this is what war looks like. It is not neat and it is not pretty. It is violent. It is brutal. And we're out here expecting like this is supposed to be a cakewalk. I mean, this is war.
Okay, this is the same person who will condemn the Israeli government every time a civilian is killed when you have terrorists hiding behind civilians. This is the same person who will make light of riots in American cities. But, you know, war is war, man. And if we got to leave a bunch of Americans behind in Afghanistan, that's what we'll do. This is famed women's rights advocate AOC, who basically is just like, you know, man, so okay, so we pulled out, and there are 19 million women, most of whom are under the age of 25, living in Afghanistan, and they're just going to be subjected to vicious rape repeatedly. But, you know, it was rough. It was rough. So the defenses are not working, and herein lies the problem for Joe Biden. We'll get to that in just one moment. Coming up, Joe Biden's approval ratings are tanking, as well they should. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Taste of Reading is back. Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary presents the 14th Annual Taste of Reading 2021, Sunday, September 12th from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and micro brews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.com. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to the Billies, Bartosh, Refugia, Soul Punch, and the Stone Hearts. Reading West Rotary would like to especially thank O2 Employment Services and Cornerstone Community Bank for their underwriting sponsorship to our local restaurants at this year's Taste of Reading. There will be fun for the entire family, so come down to the 14th Annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, September 12th at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find a complete list of events and purchase your tickets by visiting us online at tasteofreading.com.
Fentanyl poisoning is a growing problem in our community, but we can help do something about it. Join us September 18th at 1 p.m. at the Riverfront Park Amphitheater for the Decennium Giving Circle to celebrate a beautiful heart taken from our community entirely too soon. The concert is free, but there will be a raffle with prizes donated by local businesses and artists. So come on down, because we can all make a difference.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
They don't want to give you something. So you say, I'm going to withhold the thing you want until you give me how a trade works. If Donald Trump said, here are all the things I want, including to re-enshrine DACA, Democrats would simply say, okay, fine, so what are you waiting for? Re-enshrine DACA, and then we'll talk. Trump doesn't want to do that. That's his goal. Right? His goal is to have a negotiation here. So President Trump gave an address in the Rose Garden, unveiling his plan to create a fair, moderate interest, are proposing open borders, lower wages, and lawless chaos, which seems to me at this point a fairly good description of what Democrats are doing, considering they don't even want to fund ICE and the Department of Homeland Security. Beds necessary to house people crossing the border illegally pending legal action. Here's President Trump explaining.
We must implement an immigration system that will allow our citizens to prosper for generations to come. Clear contrast. Democrats are proposing open borders, lower wages, and frankly, lawless chaos. We are proposing an immigration plan that puts the jobs, wages, and safety of American workers first.
Okay, so all of this is correct. Democrats, unfortunately, are not treating the immigration issue with sufficient seriousness. President Trump also says we need to get rid of the random lottery that decides who gets to become an American. He says that's a really dumb policy. It is a really dumb policy. There is no reason it should be randomized. We should be able to look at the pool of immigrants and decide who best serves America's interests. We are a country with borders. Now, I am libertarian personally on immigration, so long as there is no welfare state. So here are my conditions on immigration to the United States. No taking advantage of welfare. Also, you should have some skill set that is going to add to the United States so that you don't come in and are unemployed. Also, you should be willing to assimilate. Now, the only reason, again, that you should not be, that you should have some skill set is because, in my view, that is necessary in a state that does have a welfare benefit to it. You know, back in the early 20th century, there were effectively no welfare benefits, and this drew a crowd of people who were very risk-seeking, coming to the United States wanting to assimilate, learning English, assimilating to American values, and then going and working really hard. Assimilation in the United States today is a little bit different because people are coming in. There are tremendous state benefits that are available. There's bilingual education in many places. Challenges and will inevitably encounter additional crises in the future. Yet some in Congress have a strange belief there's an infinite supply of money to deal with any current or future crisis, and that spending trillions upon trillions will have no negative consequence for the future. I disagree. An overheating economy has imposed a costly quote-unquote inflation tax on every middle and working class American. At $28.7 trillion and growing, the nation's debt has reached record levels. And by the way, it is amazing what the levels of national debt were going back historically. I mean, I remember when George W. Bush was blowing out the national debt and everybody was freaking out about it. And this is back in, you know, 2000, 2003. We were spending tons and tons of money. The federal debt held by the public as a percentage of GDP in like 2003, 2004, was about 30%, 35%. Today, the U.S. national debt as a percentage of the federal GDP is approaching, it's well over 80% now. It's approaching 90 or 100%. These are shocking statistics, obviously. And if you look at kind of the 150-year view of the U.S. national debt, you can see that we are now up to actually 98.2% of GDP, right, which is pretty unbelievable because of the amount of massive spending that we did last year and that we are about to do now. So we are entering really dangerous territory in terms of the national debt. Now, people on the left don't care because they think we can just print money forever. Here's the reality about what you are doing when you continue to sell debt, which is basically what you have to do, and inflate the currency in the process. There's only a few ways out of this. One is you pay people back with inflated currency. You actually start digitally generating dollars and then handing those dollars to bondholders. The second is that you just radically raise taxes on people, including middle-class people. There just are not enough tax dollars at the top of the income spectrum. The United States has one of the most progressive tax systems on planet Earth. People in the top 1% are paying a huge percentage of the taxes. People in the top half are paying all of the taxes. People in the top 10% of income earners in the United States are paying all net taxes, meaning they get no government benefits, and they're paying all the taxes. So you can't tax those people much more. So if you really want to spend the money that we're spending right now, you really have to broaden the tax base, which, of course, is going to hamper economic growth. Okay, so you can theoretically inflate the currency. You can theoretically raise your taxes. Or you can get into a situation where you are defaulting. Now, the United States is basically hoping that we're still the best relative bet compared to the rest of the market. But this is also why the United States is not going to be in the future in favor of a lot of economic innovation, like Bitcoin being used as an alternative currency, because it debases the United States currency and makes it less likely that Americans are going to invest their money in things like bonds. They're afraid that they're going to be paid back with inflated dollars. So why would I want to be paid back in inflated dollars? Why would that be something worthwhile? Okay, all of this is, we are cruising for a financial bruising, I guess is the story here, and Joe Manchin is correct about this. He says, over the past 18 months, we've spent more than $5 trillion responding to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, Democratic congressional leaders propose to pass the largest single spending bill in history, with no regard to rising inflation, crippling debt, or the inevitability of future crises. Ignoring the fiscal consequences of our policy choices will create a disastrous future for the next generation of Americans. Those who believe such concerns are overstated should ask themselves, what do we do if the pandemic gets worse under the next viral mutation? What do we do if there's a financial crisis like the one that led to the Great Recession? What if we face a terrorist attack or major international conflict? How will America respond to such crises if we needlessly spend trillions of dollars today? This is right. I mean, obviously, if you're going to fire financial bullets at crises, you should wait for an actual crisis. We are now at the tail end of the pandemic. There was a study came out today that says probably upwards of 80% of Americans have some form of immunity to COVID, whether it's natural immunity or vaccine immunity. So what exactly are we talking about spending $5 trillion for right now? Says Joe Manchin, programs and additional stimulus funding, Congress should hit a strategic pause on the budget reconciliation legislation. A pause is warranted because it will provide more clarity on the trajectory of the pandemic. It will allow us to determine whether inflation is transitory or not. While some of us have suggested this reconciliation legislation must be passed now, I believe making budgetary decisions under artificial political deadlines doesn't lead to good policy or sound decisions. I've always said, if I can't explain it, I can't vote for it. I cannot explain why my Democratic colleagues are rushing to spend $3.5 trillion. Also, we must allow for complete reporting and analysis of the implications a multi-trillion-dollar bill will have for this generation and the next. Such a strategic pause, says Joe Manchin, will allow every member of Congress to use the transparent committee process to debate. What should we fund? What can we simply not afford? He says, I, for one, won't support a $3.5 trillion bill or anywhere near that level of additional spending without greater clarity about why Congress chooses to ignore the serious effects inflation and debt have on existing government programs. This is even more important now as Social Security and Medicare trustees have sounded the alarm, reduced as soon as 2026 for Medicare and 2033, a year earlier than previously projected for Social Security. Establishing an artificial $3.5 trillion spending number, then reverse engineering the partisan social priorities that should be funded isn't how you make good policy. Undoubtedly, some will argue, bold social policy action should be taken now, says Manchin. While I share the belief we should help those who need it most, we must also be honest about the present economic reality. Inflation is rising. It is bleeding the value of Americans' wages and income. More than 10 million jobs remain open. Our economy has reached record levels of quarterly growth. This positive economic reality makes clear the purpose of the $3.5 trillion in new spending is not to solve urgent problems, but to re-envision America's social policies. While my fellow Democrats will disagree, I believe spending trillions more dollars not only ignores present economic reality, but makes it certain America will be fiscally weakened when it faces a future recession or national emergency. Says many in Washington have convinced themselves we can add trillions of dollars more to our nearly $29 trillion national debt with no repercussions, regardless of political party. Elected leaders are sent to Washington to make tough decisions and not simply go along to get along. For those who dismiss my unwillingness to support a $3.5 trillion bill as political posturing, I hope they heed the powerful words of Admiral Mike Mullen, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who calls debt the biggest threat to national security. So Manchin is basically saying that Joe Biden needs to wait. Well, if this thing waits, do you think the conditions are going to get riper for people to vote for a $3.5 trillion bill? This thing needs to happen now. Everybody knows that it needs to happen now. This is why Democrats are freaking out. This is why Jonathan Chait has a piece titled, Joe Manchin has put Biden's presidency in mortal danger. He says the mercurial senator calls for a pause when Democrats desperately need to move fast. He says this is the most bearish indicator for Biden. He says Manchin's rationale for demanding a pause is farcical, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really bad and it's super terrible. But he says the compromise negotiated in the House requires an expedited schedule with an infrastructure vote by the end of the month. The sequence is still workable because all of the factions have an understanding of what they'll include in the social spending bill. Without that understanding in place, progressives have every incentive to vote down the infrastructure bill, which will in turn contribute to the impression of dysfunction and chaos. So, in other words, There's a deal in place. The deal basically was that Joe Manchin and Sinema would vote for the infrastructure bill, and then Nancy Pelosi would immediately ram through a reconciliation bill. Manchin is now saying hit pause. So that means the timeline just got blown up. This is what Jonathan Chait is pointing out. He says the sequence of Manchin's negotiations is especially likely to provoke distrust. He helped create a demand for a fast infrastructure vote, which necessitates the scramble to speed up the second bill. Indeed, the most reasonable demand, House moderates have, is to not be forced to vote for a larger bill than Manchin ultimately agreed to. His insistence on waiting freezes everything in place. The danger is this pause sets off a cycle of failure. Wealthy interests are belatedly mobilizing against the bill now. The Democrats' best chance is to move as fast as possible. Delay creates the impression of dysfunction, making Biden and Congress less popular, in turn reducing the popularity of any bill they pass, in turn making Congress more reluctant to support it. Joe Biden has no coattails. He can't force this thing through. This is a serious problem for the Democratic Party. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, how did you choose which ISP to use? The sad thing is most of us really don't have a choice because internet service providers operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. They use that monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. Worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and then sell that data to other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all of my devices with ExpressVPN. So, what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone. It encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so your ISP can't see any of your activity. Just think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, the list of people you've messaged, sites you've visited, videos you've watched get tracked by tech giants who can sell your information for profit. That's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. You just download the app, tap one button on your device, and now you are protected. So, stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to get 3 extra months for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, not only has Joe Biden failed on foreign policy, not only is his economic agenda being held up on domestic policy, now the new jobs report is out for August. It sucks. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Message and data rates may apply. Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, music, and more. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's economy is flailing already. So in breaking news, by the way, the August jobs report is out. Complete fail. Complete, absolute, utter failure, which, of course, is not surprising because we are paying people to stay home. And then we're talking about inflating more. We're talking about more stimulus. We're talking about, by the way, telling people that they must stay home because of the pandemic when that is obviously not true. If you're vaccinated, you should not be afraid of other people who are unvaccinated because you're vaccinated. It's the whole damned point of getting vaccinated in the first place. So the reality, there's a reason why the states that are doing best in terms of the unemployment rate are all red states, and the states that are all doing the worst are the blue states. There's a reason for that. The August jobs report, how bad was it? Economists had forecast 725,000 jobs being created. Remember, there are 10 million open jobs in the United States right now. 725,000 jobs is what the economists had been forecasting. The actual number of jobs created was 235,000 jobs. They were off by a factor of three. They're off by a factor of three. That is a disaster area for the Biden administration. And again, they keep missing the mark. They keep missing it over and over. They'll have like one good month, and then they'll have three terrible months. That is because you have completely destroyed all of the incentive structures causing people to go back to work. You've destroyed supply lines. You're artificially boosting demand by pouring money into people's pockets. But you can tell, by the way, that that sort of inflation is not actual price inflation. It's not sort of heated. It's not economic heating. You know how you know? Because if you look at the loan numbers, like whether people are actually taking out loans, the answer is no. People are not taking out loans under these circumstances because they're afraid they're not going to be able to pay them back. And that is because the underlying fundamentals that are being created by the regulate and spend and tax Biden economy are a lot weaker than the fundamentals of an economy that was much more laissez-faire under Donald Trump. This is wild. I mean, so the Fed is now saying that the August jobs report was a failure. But because of that, they're going to keep buying assets. Did it ever occur to them that the reason the jobs report's a failure is because you keep inflating the currency? Is because you keep paying people to stay home? It's because of unemployment benefits? It's because you're creating enormous pressure for businesses to spend more money than they are actually taking in on employees? Like, this is all causing inflation, of course. But they're saying it's transitory, which is fine. Terrible news for the economy. Not a shock. The unemployment rate fell to 5.2% in August from 5.4% before, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. There's a reason why Bitcoin, by the way, just rose past $50,000 per Bitcoin. The reason for that is because people are now investing in some form of more solid asset than the United States dollar, given what the federal government is doing right now. By the way, according to the economic report, there were job losses in certain sectors. In the retail sector, almost 30,000 jobs lost. In the restaurant sector, 42,000 jobs lost. And there were 36,000 jobs picked up in the entertainment sector. That's probably going to take a nosedive, considering that Joe Biden continues to shut down the economy. That's amazing. What the people in the media, they're going to attribute this to the Delta spike. The reality is that the only reason that you are seeing shutdowns right now and tremendous fear right now is because the media have made it seem as though even if you are vaccinated, you should be afraid. This goes back to a point I was making yesterday about COVID, which really is the salient point. If you had to draw a chart of the worried and the unworried when it comes to COVID, I'm actually going to do it for you right now. Okay, here we have a circle. It's the worried. Here we have a circle. It is the unworried. Okay? These are the two circles of the American population. Okay, the unworried contain some people who are vaccinated, right? I'm unworried and I'm vaccinated. So some part of this circle are the vaccinated, okay? But the rest of this circle are the unvaxxed. The entirety of the people who are unvaxxed are unworried. I say that because if they were worried, they would go get vaxxed. It is the best solution to your worry is to get vaxxed. Okay, but then if you look at the circle of the worried, they're the entire circle The entire circle is vaccinated of the worried. Okay, the entirety of the circle is vaccinated. So right now, you have the Biden administration basically telling the vaccinated to shut down the economy, worry about the vaccinated, worry. Okay, but those are the people who shouldn't be worried. We're now at the point where if you are a sentient adult in the United States and you don't have some unbelievably severe pre-existing condition in which your doctor says you shouldn't get a vaccine, you now have the option to do whatever the hell you want. If the economy is shutting down, it's because of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's credibility is shredded. He said he was going to stop the virus. He has not. He said that he wasn't going to kill the economy. He has. He has said that he was going to shore up our credibility on the international stage. Not only has he not done that, he's destroyed our credibility on the international stage. And now all the big hopes that he had for restructuring the nature of American government, they ride on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Okay, this is an unsuccessful failed presidency, and we are not even a year in. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Power should be restored to New Orleans by the middle of next week, but officials are warning people returning to communities outside the city to come prepared like survivalists because of the lack of basic services in the aftermath of Ida. President Biden spent the day in the region telling local leaders at the St. John Parish Emergency Operations Center the federal government will help everyone in need.
There's nothing political about this. It's just simply about saving lives and getting people back up and running. And we're in this together, and so we're not going to leave any community behind, rural, city, coastal, inland.
In the Northeast, police were going door to door and tallying lists of people still missing. As the death toll edged higher from the catastrophic flooding spurred by the remnants of Ida, at least 49 people in five states have died because of storm water filling people's homes and engulfing vehicles. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken goes on the road Sunday to Qatar, as well as Germany. He wants to visit U.S. diplomats and troops along with Afghans who were evacuated from Kabul.
I'll be heading to Doha, where I'll meet with Qatari leaders to express our deep gratitude for all that they're doing to support the evacuation effort. I'll also have a chance to meet with Afghans, including our locally employed staff from Embassy Kabul, who are now safely in Doha preparing for their journey to the United States.
Blinken reassured Americans who remained in Afghanistan they have not been abandoned.
We're in constant contact with Americans who remain in Afghanistan and may still wish to leave. We've assigned case management teams to each remaining American citizen who's expressed an interest in leaving.
State Department says Blinken has no plans to meet representatives of the Taliban in Doha, where the group now controls has an office. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Now that life is returning to normal, let us help you get out of your unused timeshare. For most, getting out of a timeshare that feels impossible to use is a priority. One of the biggest concerns we hear is not knowing how high your next maintenance fee may be. With the bill right around the corner, it's like rolling the dice. We will get you out of your unused timeshare quickly so you can go back to traveling where you want, when you want. For over a decade, Lodestar Transfer has been helping thousands of people just like you exit their expensive timeshare. We have an A-plus rating and hundreds of excellent reviews with the BBB. We guarantee the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and in a specific time frame. For the best customer service and a free consultation, call 844-284-4860. That's 844-284-4860 or online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
The U.S. government's Road Safety Agency is looking into another accident involving partially automated driving systems. Correspondent Ben Thomas has the latest on this story.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration dispatched a team to look into a fatal July 26 crash in New York. Police say a 52-year-old man was struck and killed by a Tesla Model Y SUV as he was changing a flat tire on the shoulder of the Long Island Expressway in Queens. It's the 10th fatal crash to which the agency has sent a team. 9 have involved Teslas. NHTSA is conducting a formal investigation into Tesla's partially automated driving systems and crashes involving parked emergency vehicles. For years, the agency has been reluctant to regulate the systems, which do have tremendous potential to save lives. I'm Ben Thomas.
Check out more breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. West Virginia's Senate Democrat Joe Manchin is facing a blistering attack from progressives for opposing a $3.5 trillion in new spending.
Manchin this week urged colleagues to hold off on, in his words, rushing to spend trillions of dollars on new government programs. He also warned of what he called runaway inflation. Retribution was swift from Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said Manchin, quote, has weekly huddles with Exxon. Democrat lawmakers are still crafting the details of the $3.5 trillion program seen as central to President Biden's economic agenda. Bob Agner reporting.
Apple is delaying its plan to scan U.S. iPhones for images of child sexual abuse, saying it needs more time to refine the system before releasing it.
The company had revealed last month it was working on a tool to detect known images of child sexual abuse that would work by scanning files before they're uploaded to the iCloud. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business protected at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, the wailing and gnashing of teeth continues over the Supreme Court's refusal to temporarily intervene and issue an injunction over a Texas law that essentially prevents abortion after week six. Now, here's the thing. The Supreme Court didn't overturn Roe versus Wade. Wish to God that they had. They have not. Roe versus Wade is a Supreme Court decision that says that nationally speaking, there can be no laws that severely restrict abortion under most circumstances. This was changed by Planned Parenthood versus Casey in the early 90s, which was a case in which we learned that any law that placed an undue burden on a woman seeking to have an abortion post-viability was somehow unconstitutional. Now, again, grab your magnifying glass, look for any of this in the Constitution, you're going to have a pretty hard time. But put that aside. This new case where the Supreme Court turned down injunction, the reason they did so is a specific legal reason. You can't issue an injunction on a law unless the person has brought a lawsuit against the person enforcing the law. So typically, as I've said before, if you have a lawsuit based on enforcement of a law, you'll see that the defendant in the lawsuit is usually like the Secretary of State of the state or against the Attorney General of the state. It's pretty common. What you can't have is me sue the local janitor to enjoin a law, because the janitor is not the enforcement mechanism. Hey, what's weird about the Texas law is that the state is not the enforcement mechanism. What the state does is it creates a private cause of action, which means that if I see an abortion doctor performing an abortion on a woman, I can now sue the abortion doctor for violating state law and get $10,000 out of the abortion doctor, which effectively shuts down abortion clinics in Texas post 6 weeks. Okay, so this creates a bit of a conundrum for the courts, because the lawsuit that was brought to create an injunction here was brought against a judge in Texas. Now, the judge in Texas was not actually enforcing the law. The judge had sued nobody. The judge had not brought anybody up on charges or anything. None of that. Instead, the lawsuit should have been targeting, presumably, a person who reports another person, right? That person sues the person who reported them, and then that goes up to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court said this is not ripe, right? This is not, we have not gotten to the point where an actual legitimate lawsuit has been filed. You have to have what's called a cognizable defendant. It has to be the right person who's being sued. This does not overrule Roe versus Wade. It doesn't. Okay, again, wish to God it had. It does not. That would then revert the question of abortion back to the states, which is where it originally was. It had already gotten pretty liberal in places like California and New York. It was very conservative in places like Alabama and Texas. Which, by the way, is how it should be absent some sort of constitutional amendment to protect fetal life. Okay, so Joe Biden came out and he is fighting mad over all of this. Joe Biden put out a statement because his face doesn't move that well anymore. His statement says today, Texas law SB 8 went into effect. This extreme Texas law blatantly violates the constitutional right established under Roe versus Wade. So first thing, if you established a constitutional right by a Supreme Court case, it wasn't a constitutional right. I mean, that's pretty obvious right off the top. If I said there's a constitutional right to Medicare established by the Supreme Court in 1985, then it wasn't established by the Constitution, was it? But put that aside, because Democrats are frequently putting aside the Constitution. They said this was upheld as precedent for nearly half a century. Well, that's a big deal. I mean, obviously, if a case is really terrible and it's upheld as precedent for half a century, we have to leave it forever. Like Plessy versus Ferguson, which said that segregation was totally fine. Should have left that forever. It was precedent for fully half a century. And Plessy versus Ferguson was end of the 19th century. Brown versus Board wasn't until 1954. So, you know, should have left it, presumably. I mean, that was half a century of precedent. No? You think not? I didn't think so either. The Texas law, said Joe Biden, will significantly impair women's access to the health care they need, particularly for communities of color and individuals with low income. Now, again, I don't know why it would infringe on communities of color and individuals with low income, particularly. Probably, actually, it would infringe on people who can afford to pay the fine, because those people are going to be the people who get sued. But he says it outrageously deputizes private citizens to bring lawsuits against anyone who they believe has helped another person get an abortion, which might even include family members, healthcare workers, front desk staff at a healthcare clinic, or strangers with no connection to the individual. Okay, that is quite unlikely that you're going to see lawsuits launched against the Uber driver, as the left likes to say, in these particular cases. Now, listen, I'm not saying that this law is well drawn. I'm not saying that this law is going to be upheld by the Supreme Court. In fact, I think probably it'll be struck down by the Supreme Court. I think the Supreme Court is probably going to pare back Planned Parenthood versus Casey, but they're going to look at schemes like this one, and they're probably going to say that this is in a effectively turning private citizens into state actors. Okay, but the notion that Roe versus Wade was just overturned is crazy. Then Joe Biden says, my administration is deeply committed to the constitutional right established in Roe versus Wade nearly five decades ago and will protect and defend that right. I mean, hasn't the Biden administration done enough in the past few weeks to kill Americans, to step in at this point and insist on the killing of more Americans in the womb? In a second, we'll get to the defenses by the Biden administration of their position on this. First, let us talk about your safety and security at home. So, at my house, got a lot of little kids running around. Got a lot of people who are stopping by on a daily basis, dropping off packages, dropping off books. You know, I'm constantly ordering stuff. And I want to know what's going on in my property. That is why I rely on Ring. With my Ring Alarm security system, I'm much more at ease when I'm on the road or away from home. My Ring Alarm equals peace of mind. Protect your home with Ring Alarm. Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable whole home security system. You can easily install yourself. It works seamlessly with other Ring products in one simple app. For a special offer, go to ring.com/Ben. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. Keep an eye on every corner of your house with indoor and outdoor cams. See what's happening directly from your phone. Protect your home anywhere from any time with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben for that special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. I got kids running around the house all the time. Sometimes I lose track of the squishy baby, and I need to know where she is. Pop up that Ring feature on my phone, and now I know exactly where she is. You can build a system right for your home. Have it up and running in minutes. That's ring.com/Ben. Again, ring.com/Ben. Okay, so the most bizarre defense of the day, Jen Psaki at the White House was asked by a religious news reporter about the fact that Joe Biden considers himself a religious Catholic, and yet is now backing widespread abortion. Jen Psaki's answer was, this was treated by the media as a slay queen moment. Slay queen? Yeah, it's not.
Why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
Well, he believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Why does the president, who does he believe then should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions, and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing. The president believes their rights should be respected.
So I noticed that she says here, you're not a woman. You've never faced this difficult decision. So shut up. So I guess what we're supposed to take, first of all, I don't know how she's assuming this male-identifying person's gender. I've been told reliably by this administration that men can have babies. This is what I have been told. And I believe them because they are a reliable source. So if I'm told that men can have babies, I don't know what she's jabbering on about how he's never been in this situation. How does she know he's never had an abortion or considered an abortion? She doesn't know any of that. Just the fact that he has a penis doesn't, that shouldn't prohibit him from having thoughts on this particular issue. He might be a woman. And not all women have vaginas, according to this administration. Also, her comeback to Joe Biden is not acting super Catholic and backing abortion is, you're not a woman, you don't know. So I suppose this means that Joe Biden is a woman now, which is news. I mean, that is breaking news. We have the first female president. He's an old man with a... So, and has considered abortion in the past as a religious Catholic. So I am pleased to learn all of these new facts from Jen Psaki. What a slay queen moment. And you can't do the I am woman, hear me roar when you cannot define a woman. It makes it very, very difficult. Okay, then you have Elizabeth Warren, who I noticed is in the United States Senate and ran for president unsuccessfully while identifying as a Native American. And Joy Reid, who is a very famous TV show host being paid nightly for her dumbass opinions. I noticed that they were on TV together on my television screen, complaining how we now live in the Handmaid's Tale. Well, on my television screen, being paid handsomely to do so. Well, backing abortion, just like the Handmaid's Tale. Here they are.
People think it's hyperbolic when I tweet about the Handmaid's Tale
yes.
coming to America.
Yes.
But I don't think it seems hyperbolic now. Does it to you?
No. So, you know, I lived in an America in which abortion was illegal. When I was young, before Roe versus Wade. And when abortion is illegal, rich women still get abortions. Women with resources still get abortions. Women who have time and who have friends in other places will still get abortions. So what this law is really about is not stopping abortions across the board. This is about bearing down on the most vulnerable among us.
Okay, this is an amazing thing. Okay, so a few things. One, she says that she grew up in a time when abortion was illegal. Okay, first of all, she grew up in a time when abortion was legal in certain states. Second of all, was it The Handmaid's Tale then? Really, it was like 1955, 1960, 1965, right? Because Roe v. Wade wasn't until the early 70s. Was 1970 The Handmaid's Tale for women? I missed that part. Somebody should ask her that. But she says that now we're back in The Handmaid's Tale. So was it The Handmaid's Tale in 1969? I noticed a lot of screwing going on in 1969 at, like, Woodstock. So was that The Handmaid's Tale? I'm having trouble reconciling these two things. Then I just find it astonishing how the left has invested itself so much in equity talk that they can't even make their old arguments. So instead of saying this harms women as a whole, they are now forced into the box of explaining to Joy Reid on national TV that really what this is about is harming quote-unquote vulnerable women. Rich women will be fine, but this is really not directed equally. It is literally a law that is directed equally. The law applies to all. So, there's a famous joke about the New York Times that the ultimate New York Times headline would be asteroid to hit Earth tomorrow. Women and minorities hit hardest. Right? And that's kind of how the left treats this sort of stuff. It's like there's a law. We don't like the law. Therefore, it is the worst for the poor and for women who are of color, et cetera, et cetera. And, but it's a really awkward fit. It's really strange and off-putting. And again, Handmaid's Tale. Where is Joy Reid is justifying the Afghan pullout? You want to look at The Handmaid's Tale? They're literally going to shove women into basements in burqas, tell them they can never go to school again or walk on the street without a male present. They can't drive or they'll be beaten. Joy Reid is totally up for that. So is Elizabeth Warren. But it's real Handmaid's Tale kind of crap when in the United States you have to get an IUD, use a condom, or take a birth control pill instead of aborting a baby after it's already been conceived. Because, by the way, that is the other alternative. I love that the alternatives posed by the left here are that, like, birth control pills don't exist. So the two alternatives, according to the left, and marriage doesn't exist either. So the two alternatives, according to the left, are randomly get pregnant and be forced to bear the child in the worst of possible circumstances, or widespread abortion for all. I've noticed a bunch of gradations here. So for a long time before the rise of the birth control pill, the solution to getting pregnant out of wedlock was to not have sex out of wedlock. That was the solution for virtually all of human history. And in fact, people who did have sex out of wedlock and then got pregnant very often got married. If you look at the number of 7-month babies who were being born in the 1940s, the answer is a lot. Okay, then the birth control pill came around. And now you have a really easy solution to avoid getting pregnant without even getting married while having sex. And that is to use birth control. And yet abortion is such a sacrament that if abortion goes away, they used to say that abortion was really about these tough situations where a woman is, whether it's about rape or it's about incest or it's about a baby with a fetal abnormality or something. They don't even bother with that anymore. Now it's like, it's pure birth control. I don't feel like using a condom. I don't feel like using birth control. I feel like having unprotected sex. And if I conceive a baby, I feel like going to Planned Parenthood or using Plan B or whatever. When you're using abortion as birth control, it really starts to undercut whatever moral case you have or even restricted levels of abortion. And you have Nicole Wallace in MSNBC, also on her high horse.
John, again, in this moment, male governors in Florida and Arizona and Texas don't want the body to be covered by a 4-inch piece of cloth against mask mandates. They're going to reach deep into the uterus of a woman and tell all of them to carry up. 85% of abortions take place after the 6-week mark that the Texas law bans. What is the real world effect here?
Male governors are reaching deep into the uterus. Ooh, deep into the uterus. You know what reaches deep into the uterus? Abortion doctors killing the babies inside the uterus, I noticed. Just like as a physical matter. Actually going in and cutting up a baby and then sucking its brains into a sink? That's physically reaching deep into a uterus. In fact, what these governors are doing is saying you cannot reach deep into the uterus to kill the thing that is growing in your uterus, which is a human. I'm also very annoyed. I'm highly irritated with the stupid argument that men are not allowed to have a perspective on abortion. Why not? Were non-slaveholders allowed to have a perspective on slavery? After all, they didn't hold slaves. They couldn't know the difficulty of not having slaves. Like, that's not how any of this works. If you're trying to protect human life, like, I have perspectives on why murder is wrong. I'm not a murderer myself. I haven't been in those circumstances. What a dumb argument. And there are plenty of women, by the way, who are pro-life. In fact, I would say virtually all of the pro-life leaders that I personally know are women. People like Lila Rose over at Live Action. Governor Kay Ivey, right? She's the governor of Alabama. She signed into law 2 years ago, a law that banned nearly all abortions. Was she a man at the time? How does that work? Well, the good news is that at least Robin DiAngelo recognizes humanity in the womb. This is exciting. So Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility, the anti-racist activist, she now says that racism was even affecting her as a fetus. All these self-contradictory language by the left is amusing to me. Here we go.
White people are invested in the racist status quo for lots of reasons. And I think it's unfortunate, but I do think we have to see it as in our own best interest. So a couple things have to happen there. One is, it's a little more abstract, but it's like you almost have to dismantle your very identity to the core and rebuild it. Because even before I took my first breath, as my mother carried me in pregnancy, the forces of race were operating on us.
Robin DiAngelo's a pro-lifer now, guys. She was a human in the womb. Racism was operating on her. Well, I mean, I guess the answer for the left is you can abort all the kids in the womb, I guess, and then you won't have to worry about future racists. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into an amazing story. The media completely blew it on this story. You remember that story about a spa in L.A. called We Spa, where there was a quote-unquote trans woman running around, meaning a man, with his dangly bits hanging out, and some of the women started getting upset, and this caused widespread consternation? Members of the media reported the whole thing was a hoax. Nope! And there is a kicker to that story. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about your energy level. It can be overwhelming to perform at your best as you age. You got career, family, staying in shape. Life can be stressful. You start to slow down. You're not present when you want to be. To perform at your best physically and mentally, you can't let age beat you. This is where M-Drive can help. M-Drive is the daily supplement for driven men who don't want to slow down, who refuse to be tired every day, who want to be the best at what they do. It's packed with clinically tested ingredients that support healthy testosterone levels while helping you lose weight and stay lean. Added vitamins and nutrients reduce stress and boost your drive so you can perform at your best. Find it at Walgreens and other retailers. Or visit mdriveformen.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. Remember, they got that free shipping, a 60-day money-back guarantee. You really don't have anything to lose. Give it a shot today. M-Drive. It's not for everyone. It is for the driven. mdriveformen.com. Promo code Ben. If you're short on energy, if you're looking for just a little bit of a boost, try mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, and, of course, 20% off your very first order when you use that special promo code, my first name, Ben. Alrighty, coming up, a story the media completely blew again. Andy Ngo has it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Angie's List is now Angie. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or you're planning your dream renovation, Angie connects you with top local pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, compare quotes, and book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, you remember a few months back, there was this amazing story from a place called We Spa in L.A., where a person who said they were a transgender woman started showing his dangly bits to women in the spa, and women complained. It became sort of a blow-up. Well, that incident, according to the New York Post, led to months of sometimes violent protests, with media outlets declaring an example of bias against the transgendered, or even that it didn't happen. Slate said it was a transphobic hoax. On Monday, charges of indecent exposure were discreetly filed against a serial sex offender for the We Spa incident following an investigation by LAPD. This is according to the New York Post. Sources with knowledge of the case but not authorized to speak publicly say four women and a minor girl came forward to allege that Darren A.G. Marager was partially erect in the women's section of We Spa. Besides being a suspect in this case, Marager is facing multiple felony charges of indecent exposure over a separate incident in L.A. Marager, who spoke exclusively to the Post, denies the allegations, says she's actually the victim of transphobic harassment. On July 23rd, several women confronted staff at the We Spa in L.A.'s Koreatown over accusations a person exposed male genitalia in the women's section. Video of the interaction was posted the following day on Instagram by a woman using the name Cubana Angel. It's okay for a man to go to a woman's section, show his penis around the other women, young little girls underage in your spa? She asked the staff, he's a man. This promptly went viral. Okay, well, then there were denials that this ever happened. The LAPD so far have confirmed few details about the We Spa incident. Inquiries sent to the department were responded with statements saying the investigation is ongoing. Then this week, a warrant was issued for the arrest of Darren Marager based on five felony counts of indecent exposure. Everything about the We Spa was a bunch of garbage and lies, Marager said in an interview. She says she is legally female in California and was in a jacuzzi in the women's section when she was accosted by the Cubana angel. She never saw me naked. I was underwater with water all the way up to the chest. Marager denies ever being erect or around children at the spa. She says she's the victim of sexual harassment by transphobic women at We Spa. But law enforcement sources say Marager is a tier one registered sex offender with two prior convictions of indecent exposure stemming from incidents in 2002-2003. In 2008, she was convicted for failing to register as a sex offender. And there's your shock of the day. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be joined by a scientist to discuss all of the claims that the wild weather we've been seeing is global warming. What does that mean? We'll talk about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job. And save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligations. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop-in for an hour or more and try it out. Drop-in.mobi. That's drop-in.mobi.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
My ocean delay,
So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
stjude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So obviously we've been watching some of these, what they call extreme weather events, being treated as though this is really all about climate change as opposed to management of infrastructure or the management of wildfires in California. See this giant wildfire, obviously, over in Calder. A bunch of wildfires in California recently. Pretty damaging. It is hot in California. But is this historic in any real sense in terms of the acreage being burned? Also, we saw, obviously, this huge flood in New Jersey and New York, all the video of the rain pouring down the steps of the New York subway system. And the media have universally decided that this is all about climate change. That's what we need to focus on. So, for example, we have New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, who, instead of focusing in on his own running of the state, has decided to focus in on the process whereby we are supposed to somehow stop global warming, which will presumably have an effect about 100 years from now. Here is the governor of New Jersey.
I guess I'd close with a pretty obvious statement, but the world is changing, right? These storms are coming in more frequently. Steve and I were on the phone last night on this topic. They're coming in more frequently. They're coming in more with more intensity. And as it relates to our infrastructure, our resiliency, our whole mindset, the playbook that we use, we got to leap forward and get out ahead of this.
Okay. Meanwhile, you have the same routine from Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader. He says that what this is really about more than anything else is not how you manage crisis. It's really about just the fact that the world is getting warmer, and that's all because of climate change. And so presumably we need to do what AOC wants.
Global warming is upon us. When you get two record rainfalls in a week, it's not just coincidence. When you get all the changes that we have seen in weather, that's not a coincidence. Global warming is upon us, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse unless we do something about it.
Okay, and of course, he had the California fire director saying the same thing on CNN, that the Caldor fire shows that global warming is the big problem.
Caldor fire is burning in areas that have no fire history that we have over 100 years to areas that have burned within the last 20 years, all of the above. And we're seeing it burn through different vegetation types and age classes that we wouldn't necessarily expect fire to spread through. And that is absolutely drought, climate change, dry fuel conditions that we just haven't seen before.
Well, joining us online to discuss all of this is Dr. Stephen Koonin, physicist and leader in U.S. science policy, former undersecretary for science at the U.S. Department of Energy during the Obama administration, where he served as the president's chief scientist. He's a professor at NYU and author of Unsettled, What Climate Science Tells Us, What It Doesn't, and Why It Matters. Dr. Koonin, thanks so much for joining the show.
Great to be chatting with you, Ben.
So let's talk for a second about what the science actually says about this sort of stuff. So we've been told for years that when you have a big event, that is weather, and long-standing secular trends, that's climate. And yet every time there is a big weather event, we immediately get people on the TV telling us that it is all about climate change. How do we attribute specific events to climate change? Would you attribute the specific events that we've been seeing to climate change? Would you attribute their impacts to bad policy? How do you suss all this out?
Yeah, well, it's complicated, as many things are that people talk about and really don't understand. The kind of events you're talking about are weather, unless there is a multi-decade trend. Climate plays out over many decades. Weather happens every day or every year. And so unless you see these kinds of events happening multiple times in a decade, then it's just weather and it's not climate change. I might say that the term climate change is perhaps deliberately confusing. The climate changes for both natural reasons and under human influences. When we say climate change popularly, we mean human influences as opposed to the natural changes that might be going on.
So when we look at sort of these extreme weather emergencies, the claim has been by members of the media, by many members of the scientific community, that we're seeing many, many more of these disasters over the past 50 years, specifically because of climate change. When you actually read the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, it sort of varies, it seems, by climate disaster. So you might be able to say that there are more intense fires in, for example, the West where it's hotter. But the argument that we've been seeing more hurricanes is obviously not true. It might be more intense hurricanes, but there's actually not a lot of evidence that we've been seeing more hurricanes per se, or that more damage is being done by those hurricanes, or that if there is more damage being done by the hurricanes, it's not because of the target effect, meaning that we've just been building in areas more broadly where the hurricanes are about to hit.
Right. So let me take the fires first, and then we'll talk about the hurricanes. The fires in the U.S., if you look at the records, even the reports say that there was a lot more acreage burned in the early part of the 20th century than there has been recently. And the reason for that is that during the 1920s up to 1970, the Forest Service adopted a policy of fire exclusion. And that allowed the forest to grow and, of course, prevented fires, Smokey the Bear being the most obvious symbol. And then the fires hit a low in the 70s and have been climbing a bit in recent decades. California, for example, the drought didn't change at all over the 20th century except toward the very end. So you had fires going down even as the drought remained constant. And the reason is, again, human influences. It's only in the last decade or two that we've seen the fires come up modestly. The disasters are due then to forest management, which has been irresponsible to allow the trees to grow to an unhealthy extent, to development by putting towns in the middle of forests like Greenville and Paradise, and then to drought conditions. Now, whether the drought is natural or human caused remains to be seen, since we've seen many multi-decade droughts over the last 1,000 years in California. So the best thing we can do about the fires is manage the forest properly and not build towns in the middle of the forests. Let's talk about the hurricanes. So the latest IPCC report, which came out about 3 and a bit weeks ago, says that there are no long-term trends in the number of hurricanes around the world or in the North Atlantic. There is some indication that they have gotten more intense in the last several decades, but it's only one paper, and even that paper says we're not sure whether we see the trend, whether it's human-caused or natural. There's a lot of variability in hurricanes on multi-decade scales.
So, Dr. Koonin, one of the things that seems pretty obvious is that when you talk about this stuff as a scientist, and you're talking, again, about long-term trends, what can be done, solutions that are available. When politicians talk about this stuff, it seems pretty obvious that what they are doing is simply avoiding responsibility for the stuff they can do today. Because if you talk about climate change, long-term, as we say, secular trends, nothing can be done today that is under their control and for which they can be blamed to change the climate. Because this stuff is baked into the cake right now. It's going to be baked into the cake for the next several decades. Once you emit carbon, the carbon particles stay up in the air for literally centuries. So unless we develop some sort of technology to suck that stuff out of the air, the best you could be doing is hoping to maybe mitigate some future growth in climate change, you know, over the course of the coming decades. But the notion that politicians basically get to ignore their current responsibilities to do what they can to mitigate the damage from this stuff by blaming climate change seems like a cop-out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are things we can and should be doing today to minimize the impact of these events, building up the infrastructure. You know, New Orleans and Louisiana fared a lot better under Ida than it did under Katrina, because there was a deliberate investment in levees and pumps and sewers and so on. We should be doing that in the Northeast. Where do we build houses, improving our sewer systems, and so on? To have any effect on the climate by reducing global emissions, even if that were possible, and I happen to believe it's practically impossible, at least through the end of the century, if we were to do that, that would only play out over a century in terms of its effect on the climate.
So, Dr. Koonin, one of the things that we see every time there's a sort of disaster TV like this is people getting on the TV and saying, this sort of stuff is going to not only be happening more and more frequently, but it's going to put millions of lives at risk. Again, this seems to ignore an actual real secular trend, which is the number of people who die in weather disasters every year has been declining markedly over the course of the last century to all-time lows now.
That's exactly right. And that's due to development. It's due to better prediction of storms. And it's due to more resilient infrastructure. And it's not only in the developed world, but also in the developing world. And if we are going to deal with these problems in the short to midterm, to the extent that they are problems, the best thing to do is to bolster the resilience of society.
That's Dr. Stephen Kunin, physicist and leader in U.S. science policy, former President Obama's chief scientist, and his book is Unsettled: What Climate Science Tells Us, What It Doesn't, and Why It Matters. Go pick up a copy today. It is well worth the read. Dr. Kunin, really appreciate the time and the insight.
Great to be chatting with you, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be talking about critical race theory. How did it really get started? Why did it take over the academies? We'll be talking about that with a reporter from Real Clear Investigations momentarily. First, let's talk about a simple fact. It can be overwhelming to perform at your best as you age. You got career, family, staying in shape. Life gets stressful. You start to slow down. You're not present when you want to be. To perform at your best, physically and mentally, you can't let age beat you. This is where M-Drive can help. M-Drive is the daily supplement for driven men who don't want to slow down, who refuse to be tired every day, who want to be the best at what they do. It's packed with clinically tested ingredients that support healthy testosterone levels while helping you lose weight and stay lean. Added vitamins and nutrients reduce stress, boost your drive so you can perform at your best. Find it at Walgreens and other retailers, or visit mdrive4men.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code BEN. That's letter M, drive4men.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code BEN. They've got free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose. M-Drive, it's not for everyone. It's for the driven. mdrive4men.com, promo code BEN. Go check them out right now. mdrive4men.com, promo code BEN. They've got that free shipping, the 60-day money-back guarantee, and you get 20% off your first order. So really, give it a try. See if it works for you. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be joined by a reporter from Real Clear Investigations to talk about how critical racial theory became such a major issue in America. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Angie's List is now Angie. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or you're planning your dream renovation, Angie connects you with top local pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, compare quotes, and book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Right now, people are home with their pet more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Nala's got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DinoVite.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got 4 dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com.
Dynavite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Eric Felton, investigative correspondent for Real Clear Investigations, reporting on government corruption, former columnist for The Wall Street Journal, previously a Kennedy Fellow at Harvard University. Eric, thanks so much for joining the show.
Ben, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well. So you have a brand new article out about critical race theory over at Real Clear Investigations. So defenders of critical race theory use a bunch of tactics to attempt to obscure exactly what critical race theory is and how deeply it has sunk its roots into American education. Why don't we start there, and then we'll get to what I think is really your chief contribution here, which is the moment when CRT really did start to infuse the racial rhetoric of the country, as opposed to the old school sort of Martin Luther King individual treatment of people by content of character rather than color of skin. So first, let's define critical race theory for those who have been misdefining it. What exactly does it mean? What does it do? Why is it dangerous?
Well, critical race theory grew out of something called critical legal studies, which was a left-wing movement in the late 70s and into the 80s. And there were a few crits of color, as they called themselves, which is to say the critical legal studies people were called the crits, and they had some African-American members of the movement. But the African-American members of the movement were unhappy with the sort of emphasis on class, a sort of Marxist emphasis that the critical legal studies people had. And they wanted to see everything in terms of race instead of class. And they basically broke off starting in 1986. The crits of color broke off and started their own movement called critical racial theory, and they look to use law schools as a way to promote the ideology of critical race theory, and it has sort of sunk its roots into law schools and then grew from there and has become very much a part of the education system, both education classes that people take in college to become teachers, and then its use in schools by those teachers who have been indoctrinated in critical race theory when they were in college.
All righty, so let's talk for a second about that moment in 1986 when things sort of shifted for the critical race theory movement. So what exactly drove that, and what happened?
Well, the critical legal studies folks had a bunch of conferences and sort of had a summer big conference they would do every year, and they wanted to involve the African-American members of their group more in the conference. And so at a conference held at Pine Manor College in Massachusetts, they asked the crits of color to put on a presentation about how you could integrate critical legal studies with race studies. And what ended up happening at that conference is the critical race theory folks basically attacked their colleagues who had been looking to involve them more in the organization, and basically denounced critical legal studies as a white organization because it was looking at issues in terms of class rather than in terms of race. And it was a really fraught moment. The people who were involved, Kimberly Crenshaw, in her book about the beginnings of the critical race theory, sort of trumpets the way in which they made the critical race, or rather the critical legal studies folks, sort of wring their hands, and basically the white members of the Marxist movement were shocked to be denounced as racists for not basically letting the critical race theory movement take over the Marxist movement they were leading. So this is sort of a typical moment where left-wing groups end up splitting up because they're grasping at the what power there is to be had within this sort of academic context.
So, Eric, one of the things that's kind of fascinating here is if you look at the actual prescriptions in terms of policy for critical race theory versus critical legal theory, they look very similar, right? They're looking for sort of an equality of outcome regardless of race, regardless of individual action, regardless of all other factors. That if there is an inequality of outcome, then this is because there's been some sort of shortcoming in the system. The sort of class-based critical legal theory folks attribute the flaws in the system to classism. They say the people who are rich and white designed the documents and the institutions, but they really put the focus on rich. It was a bunch of people trying to protect their own private property. And there's a long kind of lineage of this going all the way back to Charles Beard in the early 20th century, saying that the founding fathers were seeking to just protect their own private property when they constructed the Constitution. The critical race theory people, they put the emphasis in rich and white on white. They say it was a bunch of white people who are trying to protect their prerogatives as white people. But that is more sort of explanatory and an argument over explanation than it is an argument over sort of what the end goal is. So why has that split not been rectified, or is it beginning to be rectified at this point? I feel like we see a little bit of this in sort of the conflict over Bernie Sanders and racial ideology, that in 2016 he was kind of a class-based socialist, and then by 2020 he had morphed into a woke class-based socialist as well.
Right. I mean, what's interesting is this notion of, you know, is there a rift and has the rift been healed? I think what takes a lot of people by surprise when they're confronted with critical race theory is the way in which critical race theory looks to divide people specifically. And it's not looking to heal rifts. It's not looking to resolve longstanding hurts in society, but rather the goal is to divide people quite literally. So the critical race theory movement was a rejection of the civil rights movement. If you think about the main goals that the civil rights movement had, it was integration. It was being colorblind. And critical race theory rejects those things altogether. It rejects the core principles of Dr. Martin Luther King's movement. And, you know, they came along and basically decided that the old civil rights movement was exhausted and decided instead to push for a new movement that, instead of looking to integrate blacks and whites, looked to separate blacks and whites. Instead of being color blind and looking to judge people on the content of their character, as Martin Luther King so famously put it, they're looking to be color conscious in all things instead of color blind. And so I think it helps us to understand what's going on when you see critical race theory making people upset, dividing people. We're kind of shocked by that. You know, we're hoping and looking for healing of what divisions there are. And critical race theory doesn't want that. And so going into a kind of encounter with critical race theory, if you're thinking that you can try to be reasonable and make a movement towards, you know, a friendship and good feeling and trying to accommodate the movement in a way that will improve relations among blacks and whites, you get rebuffed, and people are kind of shocked by that. And I think it's part of the frustration when people run into critical race theory is this way in which it divides people. And I think one of the main things to realize is that's the whole point of it. Critical race theory is anti-integrationist. It's color conscious at all times, and it's looking to divide blacks and whites in a sort of black nationalist sort of way. So Dr. King rejected black nationalism, looking instead for integration. And so they, in the critical race theory movement, are rejecting Dr. King because they're looking for anti-integrationism and separatism of the races. And it's really a disheartening movement that I think rightly upsets people, because people want there to be better relations among the races. They want there to be assimilation, integration, and people getting along.
Eric Felton, investigative correspondent for Real Clear Investigations. Go check out his report there about critical race theory and how the civil rights movement was essentially overturned in favor of a much more radical vision over Real Clear Investigations. Eric, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Ben, thank you.
All righty. We have reached the end of the work week. Have yourself a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and we will see you here next week. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Biden was on the Gulf Coast Thursday getting an up-close look at the damage from Hurricane Ida.
Uprooted trees and blue tarps covering shredded houses could be seen as Air Force One was landing.
I promise we're going to have your back so this gets done.
The president heard from people like Jacqueline Hotard, the president of St. John the Baptist Parish.
Our immediate needs are power, water, communications, and financial assistance.
The president wants to see the rebuilding hold up when the next big storm hits.
It seems to me we can save a whole lot of money and a whole lot of pain for our constituents if when we build back, we build it back in a better way.
Deputies are warning people returning to areas outside New Orleans to come equipped like survivalists because of the lack of basic services. I'm Ed Donahue.
On the jobs front, a surge in July, a big speed bump in August.
The Labor Department says America's employers added 235,000 jobs in August, a sharp slowdown after 2 months of robust hiring. For the year so far, monthly job growth has averaged 586,000. The unemployment rate in August dipped 0.2% to 5.2%, and the number of unemployed persons edged down to 8.4 million. Both those figures remain above pre-pandemic levels. The report comes at a time when the Delta variant spread has discouraged people from flying, shopping, and eating out, and the report shows employment in retail declined. Ben Thomas, Washington.
A top European official condemned Belarus and expressed support for Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia as a state of emergency took effect in areas of eastern Poland following a surge in illegal migration. And Syria says it shot down Israeli missiles as they approached the capital Damascus earlier Friday, saying it had encountered an act of aggression from its longtime adversary. More at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
New Zealand authorities shot and killed a violent extremist after he entered a supermarket and stabbed and injured six shoppers. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern called it a terrorist attack and blames an ideology for poisoning the mind of the Sri Lankan national.
What happened today was despicable. It was hateful. It was wrong. It was carried out by an individual, not a faith, not a culture, not an ethnicity, but an individual person who was gripped by ideology that is not supported here by anyone or any community.
Ardern says the man was well known to the nation's security agencies and was being monitored around the clock, and she added, because he was under constant monitoring, a police surveillance team and a special tactics group were able to shoot and kill him within 60 seconds of the attack starting. Three of those who had been stabbed were seriously injured. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. European Union officials have listed a set of conditions for defining the EU's level of engagement with the Taliban as the new rulers of Afghanistan.
EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell says to assess the Taliban's goodwill, the bloc would use several benchmarks. They include a guarantee that Afghanistan won't become a base for the export of terrorism to other countries, a commitment to free access for humanitarian aid deliveries, and adhering to standards in the areas of human rights, rule of law, and press freedom. Borrell wants to see an inclusive transition government formed in Afghanistan, and the Taliban to honour their pledge to let foreigners and those who fear for their lives leave the country. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Gaza's ruling Hamas militant group says it recovered the bodies of three men from a smuggling tunnel along the Egyptian border. A day earlier, the group accused Egypt of pumping poisonous gas into the tunnel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement, too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, well, we are very early on in the Joe Biden presidency, and it seems like this thing could be theoretically kind of over already. It is pretty obvious that next year Republicans have a solid leg up when it comes to the possibility of taking the House, and now it looks as though they have a very solid shot of taking the Senate, if polls are to be believed from places like New Hampshire, where John Sununu is now up something like 7 or 8 points on his Democratic opponent. If Republicans take back Congress, Joe Biden effectively gets nothing done for the next couple of years, which means he has a very short window of time to ram things through. Here is the problem. In order for him to ram things through, he needs complete solidarity, particularly in the Senate, where he has a 50-50 split with the Republicans, with Kamala Harris, his vice president, breaking the tie. Again, that wouldn't have happened if Donald Trump had not intervened in the Georgia Senate races and talked all about how Georgia's voting system was a complete waste of time and all of this. Be that as it may, put that aside. The bottom line here is that he still has a very, very narrow pathway to getting things done in the United States Senate. And that requires solidarity among Democrats. In order to cudgel people like Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin into doing what Joe Biden wants, he really needs to have some coattails. Because here's the thing. When it comes to things like budget reconciliation, you can do this thing with 50 votes. Pretty much everything else, you require 60. Manchin and Sinema, who are both from red states. Sinema, you might say, is from a purple state, but one of the reddest states in the country is West Virginia. Neither of them are going to break the filibuster. They've made this very clear over and over and over, no matter how many times the activist media asks them about it. So that means that basically everything has to get done through budget reconciliation. Well, the giant omnibus packages that are being pushed by Joe Biden are not on their face particularly pleasant for either of those senators, for either Sinema or for Manchin. They're not popular in Arizona. They're not popular in West Virginia. And remember, senators are not answerable to the quote-unquote national polling. They are answerable specifically to the people who are in their own states. So the chances are that Manchin and Sinema are not going to be super happy with these giant policy proposals, which means the only reason why they would do what Joe Biden wants is if they believe that Joe Biden's coattails are strong enough to carry them through, even in red/purple states, that he's overwhelmingly popular, and therefore they will be able to go back to their voters and say, we did all of these things because Joe Biden told us to do all of these things, and therefore it is good that we did all of these things. If Joe Biden's popularity craters, therefore, his chances of being able to ram through his agenda completely fall apart. If he had a broader majority, maybe his approval ratings wouldn't matter so much. But his approval ratings matter an awful lot, especially because waiting in the wings, and everybody knows this, is Kamala Harris, who's a deeply unpopular politician. So if you're Joe Manchin charting your political future and thinking to yourself, am I still here in 4 or 5 years? Do I get reelected? You going to hitch your wagon to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Or are you going to chart your own course? Same thing for Kyrsten Sinema over in Arizona. She has pretty good approval ratings. The reason she has pretty good approval ratings is because she's seen as a sort of Democratic version of John McCain. She's sort of a maverick character willing to buck her own party and say tough things to the people inside her own party about, for example, the filibuster or about too much spending. So this now puts enormous power in the hands of Joe Manchin, and that power only grows when Joe Biden is not good at his job. So that means it matters an awful lot whether Joe Biden is liked or whether he is disliked on the national stage. And that's why it matters that his poll numbers have been absolutely cratering. Now, they're cratering for basically one specific reason and then one general reason. So the specific reason is because of Afghanistan. The general reason is because Joe Biden is a houseplant. So he was elected because he was a houseplant, right? But he was a houseplant who's supposed to provide stability. The thing about houseplants is that they are barely alive, they cover the water stain, and they don't move around a lot. But Joe Biden, elected as a houseplant, is actually turning out to be the plant from Little Shop of Horrors, right? He's eating everything else. He's, in terms of policy, he's very much alive, even though in terms of sentience, he is not. And so if you voted for Joe Biden, or if you are somebody in the middle who's kind of warm to Joe Biden, you're kind of getting the worst of both worlds. You're getting the non-sentient, non-charismatic president. Right? He's not like Obama in any of the areas of charisma or magnetism or personal draw. And you're getting the radical policy of Barack Obama, except on steroids, because actually Joe Biden's policies are way more radical than Barack Obama's were at this point, even in his presidency. And Obama was really radical on policy this early on in his presidency. And so every time Joe Biden now appears and seems to be doddering his way through a press conference, it hurts him rather than helping him. If he were a moderate and he were doddering his way through, people would be willing to say that that's kind of a feature, not a bug. All right, he's doddering, but the reason he's doddering is because we elected somebody to dodder. Okay, but if he's threatening and also doddering, now it just seems like things are spinning out of control. And so every press conference that he has where he seems incapable of holding it together is a serious problem for him. That's why the Afghanistan debacle made so clear that he is just not in control, right? Even when he makes a call, those calls are so incapable of meeting with any sort of good policy that this seems like an administration where the brakes have been taken off and you literally have an octogenarian in charge of the car driving directly at a crowd. And everybody's kind of freaking out about that. The future of this car is not good. Okay, so let's go to the doddering of Joe Biden, and then we'll get to the policy of Joe Biden. So when it comes to the doddering of Joe Biden, he just continues to lie and futz around. It really is not good for him. All of these things add up. Right? The way that people make decisions about politicians typically is that over and over and over, their preconceived notions about those politicians are either rejected or reinforced. Joe Biden every day is reinforcing the fact that he is not with us. Here was Joe Biden yesterday. He was doing a kind of meet and greet with a bunch of so-called Jewish leaders. I say so-called because a lot of the Jewish leaders that he was meeting with aren't particularly Jewish in any sort of religious sense. And they kind of lead Reconstructionist synagogues that don't reflect any of the principles of the Torah, that are not particularly interested in Jewish philosophy. But put that aside, Joe Biden is speaking to them. And he starts just telling lies about visiting the Tree of Life Synagogue. It turns out that he did not. The Tree of Life Synagogue, of course, was the site of the white supremacist shooting a couple of years ago. And he said he visited. He absolutely did not. He's just making things up.
I remember spending time at the, you know, going to the, you know, the Tree of Life Synagogue, speaking with them. It just is amazing these things are happening in America.
Okay, and then he started doddering through a story about his daughter's wedding. He couldn't remember what was going on. It's very awkward. I mean, it's your grandpa is wandering off script. Now it's reminiscent. I think it's a Mitch Hedberg joke or a Jack Handy joke. Now that when I go, I want to go like my grandfather did, peacefully in his sleep, not like the passengers in his car screaming. That's the Democratic Party at this point. Right here's Joe Biden again, kind of wandering off script into the cornfield.
My daughter married a Jewish young man, and I dream of every Catholic father that she marry a Jewish doctor. But all kidding aside, he did. He's a great surgeon. And they played, and my mind's going blank now. What's the song that is played where everybody is on the chair, everybody, I can't remember it anyway. And that's the song that was played. So, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Inspiring stuff there from the President of the United States. And then he added on top of this, he starts talking about never again. Now, this is where you move from the senile to the rather unforgivable. Here's Joe Biden talking about never again, which, of course, is verbiage that is used surrounding the Holocaust, that we as the world will never allow this sort of stuff to happen again. I have some questions for Joe Biden about this particular perspective coming out of his face. Here's the President of the United States.
I guess the point I want to make is that it just shows that if we walk away from never again, it's going to happen again. It can't happen again. And so I guess the point I'm making is that the attack in Pittsburgh, those attacks, all anti-Semitic attacks, aren't just a strike against the Jewish community. They're a strike against the soul of our nation.
Okay, I'm just going to point out, when he says we can't allow never again to happen, this is the same president who is currently attempting to cut a deal with the genocidal Iranian regime to allow them a pathway to nuclear weapons. And this is the same president of the United States who is currently talking about opening a Palestinian consulate in Jerusalem, reopening the wounds of a process that has completely failed and incentivizing terror attacks in the region against Jews. This is the same president of the United States who, on another front, you want to talk about never again, just abandoned 38 million people to today's Nazis, the Taliban, who are literally going to go around just murdering everybody they don't like. This is already happening in Afghanistan right now. This is the same president who's been making kind overtures to China, which has become increasingly aggressive, meanwhile holding in Xinjiang 1 million Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps. So when this guy says, I'm anti, never again means something to me, no, it doesn't. It absolutely 100% is not. It's a bunch of words that he thinks he has to say in front of people. And here's the thing. He has no credibility on these issues. He just doesn't. His own administration has completely, Afghanistan is a perfect case in point. He literally just said, we're for human rights when we have to say things about it. But when we actually have to, do something basic, like leaving 2,500 troops there with no actual combat casualties in a support role, then I won't do that. He is so unwilling to stand up for human rights. I mean, don't talk the language of human rights if you are literally unwilling to make even the most minute sacrifices on behalf of human rights. And not just human rights, by the way, American interests in Afghanistan. But as long as he's going to be saying never again. There's in the Jewish community, there's been talk for decades about why it was that the Allies didn't bomb the rail lines during the Holocaust. Why didn't the Allies send a few planes and just bomb the rail lines that were connecting various cities to the concentration camps? And the defense has always been, it was the middle of a war. You have to use those bombs where they are best utilized, namely against Nazi troops in more strategically necessary areas. That's an open argument, historically speaking. Okay, but here, we are not even talking about even that kind of sacrifice. We are talking about the United States of America leaving in place people who are already there, doing the things they were already doing to prevent people from being shot in the face for walking in the street without a veil. And Joe Biden wasn't even willing to do that. So, no, I'm not particularly interested in hearing about never again from this doofus. His credibility is shot. It's shot. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, this summer, get out there, have a good time, and bring yourself a great pair of wireless earbuds. Because it makes the world better. When the world gets too loud, something you can always do is create your own soundtrack. Pop in your Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people, or for a workout, or to stay calm with some guided meditation. Let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort. Unlike some other brands, they don't stick out of your ears. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really, really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands. They sound just as good. And Raycons come with that 45-day happiness guarantee. So if you don't like them, you send them right back. You really can't lose. Create your own soundtrack in life with Raycon. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Once more, that is buyraycon.com/Ben to save 15% on your Raycon order today. Alrighty, coming up. So you have a houseplant of a president, and he's completely destroyed his own credibility when it comes to Afghanistan, obviously. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
When kids need medical care, they will often face stressful and life-changing experiences. They miss out on the things that make being a kid fun. Starlight Children's Foundation has delivered happiness to 17 million seriously ill kids and their families at more than 800 children's hospitals and healthcare facilities. Our programs entertain and inspire hospitalized kids. Learn more at starlight.org. That's starlight.org.
Furnished by Starlight Children's Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, he was never somebody who had a lot of ardent fans. Now he's destroyed whatever credibility he had on Afghanistan. The administration just has no defense for itself at this point. Ned Price, for example, the State Department spokesperson, he was freely admitting yesterday that the United States left several hundred U.S.-funded journalists in Afghanistan.
How many of those USAGM employees were there, or contractors, rather, and how many family members are there?
So I don't have a firm figure with me. It has been reported publicly that there are several hundred involved in that group.
Okay. Also, the AP's Matt Lee, who's pretty good foreign policy reporter, he also grilled Price. Said, how many green card holders are stuck over there? You just don't care about those people anymore, apparently.
You must have some estimate of LPRs who are still there, who want to get out. And if you don't, why not?
Well, Matt, let me first start with this issue of the 100 to 200.
I'm just asking about green card holders. Was there a decision made at some point to forget about those people?
No.
And only allow U.S. passport holders in and onto into the airport through your checkpoints, not the Taliban checkpoints, but through your checkpoints and onto and onto planes? Because a lot of them feel like they, frankly, got screwed here and that they were lied to.
And, of course, they were screwed and they were lied to. There are parades, by the way, of Taliban fighters who are walking around in suicide vests. So these are our new allies over in the Middle East. One reporter slammed the Pentagon's John Kirby, who, again, has become the Baghdad Bob of this particular operation, saying, you know, you keep saying this is a strategic success. I'm wondering exactly how.
How can the Department of Defense go before the American people, those military service members, and those veterans, and say that the mission was accomplished when people were left behind?
I think, Trace, we've been very clear that we don't believe the effort has concluded. The military mission of evacuation is over. We know there are people that didn't make it out, American citizens as well as special immigrant visa applicants, and the U.S. government –
is going to continue to look for ways to try to help them find safe passage out of the country.
Now, the media, predictably, are beginning to spin on behalf of the Biden administration throughout all of this. There's an entire piece in the New York Times today talking about how the Taliban are going to be pragmatic. They're going to be awesome. According to the New York Times' Max Fisher, as Taliban commanders exchange their guns for the reins of power, some 38 million Afghans can do little but hold their breath and wait to see how their latest conquerors will rule. That uncertainty, also palpable in foreign capitals from Washington to Beijing, is compounded by the deep contradiction between the group's record of extremism and brutality during its prior reign from 1996 to 2000 and its promises of moderation today. There's no uncertainty. They're lying. They're not going to be moderate. They're going to do exactly what they want to do. By the way, Beijing has already said they're going to recognize the Taliban regime. But, says Max Fisher, the Taliban are, depending on how one counts, something like the sixth or seventh rebel group to take over a country in the modern era. While no two are exactly alike, certain patterns have emerged in how rebels rule. Some learn to govern effectively, even to modernize. Others collapse in chaos or renewed war. Some grow crueler in power, lashing out at their subjects in fear and insecurity. Others moderate, though mostly in search of legitimacy and foreign aid. But all seem to share a few traits. A tightly bureaucratic authoritarianism, albeit sometimes allowing a degree of political opening. A focus on controlling or coercing elements of society seen as tied to the old order. And a quest for foreign support and recognition as they strain to overcome the pariah status that tends to greet militants who shoot their way into power. So we can expect them that probably they're going to be, you know, eventually they're going to turn into like regular ruling people seeking pragmatic relations with the rest of, or alternatively, they are going to continue being the bunch of drug running, which is how they supported themselves from 96 to 2001. Drug-running, Beijing-supported terror group that they've always been. But gotta swing that support back behind Biden. By the way, the fact-checkers are doing yeoman's work on this. It's amazing. Like, if you just want to see what the Biden administration-assigned fact-checkers are doing today, check the right-hand side of the Twitter feed. The Twitter feed, every single day, has some sort of fact-check targeting a minor fact that was put out there that was wrong while ignoring the far broader narrative. So there'll be a fact check about how, you know, there was a helicopter and it was flying a guy around who's a member of the Taliban wearing a harness and it looked like maybe a guy was hanging from underneath and people mentioned this. That was not true. That was not true. Of course, the idea there is this is a very important fact check, super important. We're not going to fact check the President of the United States saying he always had a plan for this. We're not going to fact check the President of the United States saying no one expected that this thing was going to collapse as fast as it was. You're not going to fact check the President of the United States when he says this is historic success. Like, none of those things are worthy of a fact check. But it is worth a fact check that the person hanging from underneath the helicopter this time was not the body of an enemy. It was just a Taliban fighter, which means now it's good that they have our Black Hawk helicopters, obviously. The other fact check that made the rounds yesterday is the media attempting to defend Joe Biden for checking his watch repeatedly at the ceremony for the fallen at Dover Air Force Base. Okay, the USA Today actually had to change its own claim. They actually claimed it was outright false that Joe Biden checked his watch during the ceremony. Originally, they claimed it was outright false. Then it turns out there were multiple Gold Star family members who said, no, Joe Biden kept checking his watch over and over and over. I checked it 5, 10, 13 times during the actual ceremony honoring the fallen. So what did USA Today do? Did they revise their fact check? They only changed it to missing context. I'm not kidding you. They didn't say now that it's true that Joe Biden was checking his watch. They literally changed it to missing context. Here is their correction. This story was updated September 2nd to note that Biden checked his watch multiple times at the dignified transfer event, including during the ceremony itself. The rating on this claim has been changed from partly false to missing context. I was missing context, you see. It's amazing. They'll never just say Joe Biden checked his watch. By the way, the White House didn't even deny he checked his watch. Jen Psaki was asked about it. She avoided the question. But the media are in full spin mode for Biden because this has been very, very damaging for him. Don Lemon, who can always be counted on to defend the worst members of the Democratic administration, he said, you know, Biden's getting beat up too much on Afghanistan. Man, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it's not like he's unvaccinated or something.
You know, I think people should stop beating up on the administration so much, because no matter how it ended, everyone wasn't going to be happy with the way it ended. So if there's any silver lining in this, it's going to be what happens going forward. You can't change the past. You can't bring those lives back, as awful as that is. And so, you know, I just think that sometimes, I think the administration is getting beaten up on this a little bit too much, because there's a lot of blame to go around from four different presidents and who actually didn't have the guts to get us out of Afghanistan because they were afraid of this moment and what an exit might look like.
Man, that guy is just journalisming everywhere, all over the Biden administration. All over their head. I mean, it's just wild, the levels of journalism that are going on right now there from Don Lemon. It's really, really well done. AOC, by the way, also defending the administration. So when AOC is defending Biden, you know things have gone wildly wrong for the administration.
I don't know what the measure or expectation is of what a quote-unquote successful withdrawal is, but I hope people understand that this is what war looks like. It is not neat, and it is not pretty. It is violent. It is brutal. And we're out here expecting, like, this is supposed to be a cakewalk. I mean, this is war.
Okay, this is the same person who will condemn the Israeli government every time a civilian is killed when you have terrorists hiding behind civilians. This is the same person who will make light of riots in American cities. But, you know, war is war, man. And if we got to leave a bunch of Americans behind in Afghanistan, that's what we'll do. This is famed women's rights advocate, AOC, who basically is just like, you know, man, so okay, so we pulled out, and there are 19 million women, most of whom are under the age of 25, living in Afghanistan. They're just going to be subjected to vicious rape repeatedly. But, you know, it was rough. It was rough. So the defenses are not working, and herein lies the problem for Joe Biden. We'll get to that in just one moment. Coming up, Joe Biden's approval ratings are tanking, as well they should. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Dr. C.A. Dingy was a dentist who lived approximately north of Middletown at Fort Dingy, named by him. He was buried in the Middleton Cemetery in a coffin filled with salt, his Bible, and a bottle of whiskey, all at his request. Winter rains brought the salt to the surface, causing deer and cattle to dig for it. To remedy the problem, a load of bricks was placed on top of the grave to protect it. Another interesting dentist was Dr. James Winsell, who settled beside Battle Creek, near today's Coleman Fish Hatchery in 1852, on what was the Rancho de Brasgau Mexican land grant. A large ditch carried water out to Battle Creek at his place and transported it to the Balls Ferry flour mill at Balls Ferry, where it was used to turn the large water wheel. The ditch still exists and is used mainly for irrigation. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta Historical Society.
They don't want to give you something. So you say, I'm going to withhold the thing you want until I give you. I'm going to withhold the thing you want until you give me how a trade works. If Donald Trump said, here are all the things I want, including to re-enshrine DACA, Democrats would simply say, okay, fine, so what are you waiting for? Re-enshrine DACA, and then we'll talk. Trump doesn't want to do that. That's his goal. Right? His goal is to have a negotiation here. So President Trump gave an address in the Rose Garden unveiling his plan to create a fair, modern interest by proposing open borders, lower wages, and lawless chaos, which seems to me at this point a fairly good description of what Democrats are doing, considering they don't even want to fund ICE and the Department of Homeland Security. Beds necessary to house people crossing the border illegally pending legal action. Here's President Trump explaining.
We must implement an immigration system that will allow our citizens to prosper for generations to come. Clear contrast. Democrats are proposing open borders, lower wages, and frankly, lawless chaos. We are proposing an immigration plan that puts the jobs, wages, and safety of American workers first.
Okay, so all of this is correct. Democrats, unfortunately, are not treating the immigration issue with sufficient seriousness. President Trump also says we need to get rid of the random lottery that decides who gets to become an American. He says that's a really dumb policy. It is a really dumb policy. There is no reason it should be randomized. We should be able to look at the pool of immigrants and decide who best serves America's interests. We are a country with borders. Now, I am libertarian personally on immigration, so long as there is no welfare state. So here are my conditions on immigration to the United States. No taking advantage of welfare. Also, you should have some skill set that is going to add to the United States so that you don't come in and are unemployed. Also, you should be willing to assimilate. Now, the only reason, again, that you should not be, that you should have some skill set is because, in my view, that is necessary in a state that does have a welfare benefit to it. You know, back in the early 20th century, there were effectively no welfare benefits, and this drew a crowd of people who were very risk-seeking, coming to the United States wanting to assimilate, learning English, assimilating to American values, and then going and working really hard. Assimilation in the United States today is a little bit different because people are coming in. There are tremendous state benefits that are available. There's bilingual education in many places. Challenges and will inevitably encounter additional crises in the future. Yet some in Congress have a strange belief there's an infinite supply of money to deal with any current or future crisis, and that spending trillions upon trillions will have no negative consequence for the future. I disagree. An overheating economy has imposed a costly quote-unquote inflation tax on every middle and working class American. At $28.7 trillion and growing, the nation's debt has reached record levels. And by the way, it is amazing what the levels of national debt were going back historically. I mean, I remember when George W. Bush was blowing out the national debt and everybody was freaking out about it. And this is back in, you know, 2000, 2003, we were spending tons and tons of money. The federal debt held by the public as a percentage of GDP in like 2003, 2004 was about 30%, 35%. Today, the U.S. national debt as a percentage of the federal GDP is approaching, it's well over 80% now, it's approaching 90 or 100%. These are shocking statistics, obviously. And if you look at kind of the 150-year view of the U.S. national debt, you can see that we are now up to actually 98.2% of GDP right, which is pretty unbelievable because of the amount of massive spending that we did last year and that we are about to do now. So we are entering really dangerous territory in terms of the national debt. Now, people on the left don't care because they think we can just print money forever. Here's the reality about what you are doing when you continue to sell debt, which is basically what you have to do, and inflate the currency in the process. There's only a few ways out of this. One is you pay people back with inflated currency. You actually start digitally generating dollars and then handing those dollars to bondholders. The second is that you just radically raise taxes on people, including middle class people. There just are not enough tax dollars at the top of the income spectrum. The United States has one of the most progressive tax systems on planet Earth. People in the top 1% are paying a huge percentage of the taxes. People in the top half are paying all of the taxes. People in the top 10% of income earners in the United States are paying all MET taxes, meaning they get no government benefits and they're paying all the taxes. So you can't tax those people much more. So if you really want to spend the money that we're spending right now, you really have to broaden the tax base, which of course is going to hamper economic growth. Okay, so you can theoretically inflate the currency. You can theoretically raise your taxes, or you can get into a situation where you are defaulting. Now, the United States is basically hoping that we're still the best relative bet compared to the rest of the market. But this is also why the United States is not going to be in the future in favor of a lot of economic innovation, like Bitcoin being used as an alternative currency, because it debases the United States currency and makes it less likely that Americans are going to invest their money in things like bonds. They're afraid that they're going to be paid back with inflated dollars. So why would I want to be paid back in inflated dollars? Why would that be something worthwhile? All of this is, we are cruising for a financial bruising, I guess is the story here, and Joe Manchin is correct about this. He says, over the past 18 months, we've spent more than $5 trillion responding to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, Democratic congressional leaders propose to pass the largest single spending bill in history, with no regard to rising inflation, crippling debt, or the inevitability of future crises. Ignoring the fiscal consequences of our policy choices will create a disastrous future for the next generation of Americans. Those who believe such concerns are overstated should ask themselves, what do we do if the pandemic gets worse under the next viral mutation? What do we do if there's a financial crisis like the one that led to the Great Recession? What if we face a terrorist attack or major international conflict? How will America respond to such crises if we needlessly spend trillions of dollars today? This is right. I mean, obviously, if you're going to fire financial bullets at crises, you should wait for an actual crisis. We are now at the tail end of the pandemic. There's a study came out today that says probably upwards of 80% of Americans have some form of immunity to COVID, whether it's natural immunity or vaccine immunity. So what exactly are we talking about spending $5 trillion for right now? Says Joe Manchin, spending programs and additional stimulus funding, Congress should hit a strategic pause on the budget reconciliation legislation. A pause is warranted because it will provide more clarity on the trajectory of the pandemic. It will allow us to determine whether inflation is transitory or not. While some of us have suggested this reconciliation legislation must be passed now, I believe making budgetary decisions under artificial political deadlines doesn't lead to good policy or sound decisions. I've always said, if I can't explain it, I can't vote for it. I cannot explain why my Democratic colleagues are rushing to spend $3.5 trillion. Also, we must allow for complete reporting and analysis of the implications a multi-trillion dollar bill will have for this generation and the next. Such a strategic pause, says Joe Manchin, will allow every member of Congress to use the transparent committee process to debate. What should we fund? What can we simply not afford? He says, I, for one, won't support a $3.5 trillion bill or anywhere near that level of additional spending without greater clarity about why Congress chooses to ignore the serious effects inflation and debt have on existing government programs. This is even more important now as Social Security and Medicare trustees have sounded the alarm, reduced as soon as 2026 for Medicare and 2033, a year earlier than previously projected for Social Security. Establishing an artificial $3.5 trillion spending number and reverse engineering the partisan social priorities that should be funded isn't how you make good policy. Undoubtedly, some will argue, bold social policy action should be taken now, says Manchin. While I share the belief we should help those who need it most, we must also be honest about the present economic reality. Inflation is rising. It is bleeding the value of Americans' wages and income. More than 10 million jobs remain open. Our economy has reached record levels of quarterly growth. This positive economic reality makes clear the purpose of the $3.5 trillion in new spending is not to solve urgent problems, but to re-envision America's social policies. While my fellow Democrats will disagree, I believe spending trillions more dollars not only ignores present economic reality, but makes it certain America will be fiscally weakened when it faces a future recession or national emergency. Says many in Washington have convinced themselves we can add trillions of dollars more to that our nearly $29 trillion national debt with no repercussions, regardless of political party. Elected leaders are sent to Washington to make tough decisions and not simply go along to get along. For those who dismiss my unwillingness to support a $3.5 trillion bill as political posturing, I hope they heed the powerful words of Admiral Mike Mullen, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who calls debt the biggest threat to national security. So Manchin is basically saying that Joe Biden needs to wait. Well, if this thing waits, do you think the conditions are going to get riper for people to vote for a $3.5 trillion bill? This thing needs to happen now. Everybody knows that it needs to happen now. This is why Democrats are freaking out. This is why Jonathan Chait has a piece titled, Joe Manchin has put Biden's presidency in mortal danger. He says the mercurial senator calls for a pause when Democrats desperately need to move fast. He says this is the most bearish indicator for Biden. He says Manchin's rationale for demanding a pause is farcical, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really bad and it's super terrible. But he says the compromise negotiated in the House requires an expedited schedule with an infrastructure vote by the end of the month. The sequence is still workable because all of the factions have an understanding of what they'll include in the social spending bill. Without that understanding in place, progressives have every incentive to vote down the infrastructure bill, which will in turn contribute to the impression of dysfunction and chaos. So, in other words, there's a deal in place. The deal basically was that Joe Manchin and Sinema would vote for the infrastructure bill, and then Nancy Pelosi would immediately ram through a reconciliation bill. Manchin is now saying hit pause. So that means the timeline just got blown up. This is what Jonathan Chait is pointing out. He says the sequence of Manchin's negotiations is especially likely to provoke distrust. He helped create a demand for a fast infrastructure vote, which necessitates the scramble to speed up the second bill. Indeed, the most reasonable demand House moderates have is to not be forced to vote for a larger bill than Manchin ultimately agreed to. His insistence on waiting freezes everything in place. The danger is this pause sets off a cycle of failure. Wealthy interests are belatedly mobilizing against the bill now. The Democrats' best chance is to move as fast as possible. Delay creates the impression of dysfunction, making Biden and Congress less popular, in turn reducing the popularity of any bill they pass, in turn making Congress more reluctant to support it. Joe Biden has no coattails. He can't force this thing through. This is a serious problem for the Democratic Party. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, how did you choose which ISP to use? The sad thing is most of us really don't have a choice because internet service providers operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. They use that monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. Worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and then sell that data to other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all of my devices with ExpressVPN. So, what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone. It encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so your ISP can't see any of your activity. Just think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, the list of people you've messaged, sites you've visited, videos you've watched get tracked by tech giants who can sell your information for profit. That's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. You just download the app, tap one button on your device, and now you are protected. So, stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to get 3 extra months for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, not only has Joe Biden failed on foreign policy, not only is his economic agenda being held up on domestic policy, now the new jobs report is out for August. It sucks. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, music, and more. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's economy is flailing already. So in breaking news, by the way, the August jobs report is out. Complete fail. Complete, absolute, utter failure, which, of course, is not surprising because we are paying people to stay home. And then we're talking about inflating more. We're talking about more stimulus. We're talking about, by the way, telling people that they must stay home because of the pandemic when that is obviously not true. If you're vaccinated, you should not be afraid of other people who are unvaccinated because you're vaccinated. It's the whole damned point of getting vaccinated in the first place. So the reality, there's a reason why the states that are doing best in terms of the unemployment rate are all red states. And the states that are all doing the worst are the blue states. There's a reason for that. The August jobs report, how bad was it? Economists had forecast 725,000 jobs being created. Remember, there are 10 million open jobs in the United States right now. 725,000 jobs is what the economists had been forecasting. The actual number of jobs created was 235,000 jobs. They were off by a factor of three. They're off by a factor of three. That is a disaster area for the Biden administration. And again, they keep missing the mark. They keep missing it over and over. They'll have like one good month, and then they'll have three terrible months. That is because you have completely destroyed all of the incentive structures causing people to go back to work. You've destroyed supply lines. You're artificially boosting demand by pouring money into people's pockets. But you can tell, by the way, that that sort of inflation is not actual price inflation. It's not sort of heating. It's not economic heating. You know how you know? Because if you look at the loan numbers, like whether people are actually taking out loans, the answer is no. People are not taking out loans under these circumstances because they're afraid they're not going to be able to pay them back. And that is because the underlying fundamentals that are being created by the regulate and spend and tax Biden economy are a lot weaker than the fundamentals of an economy that was much more laissez-faire under Donald Trump. This is wild. I mean, so the Fed is now saying that the August jobs report was a failure, but because of that, they're going to keep buying assets. Did it ever occur to them that the reason the jobs report's a failure is because you keep inflating the currency? Is because you keep paying people to stay home? It's because of unemployment benefits? It's because you're creating enormous pressure for businesses to spend more money than they are actually taking in on employees? Like, this is all causing inflation, of course, and but they're saying it's transitory, which is fine. Terrible news for the economy. Not a shock. The unemployment rate fell to 5.2% in August from 5.4% before, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. There's a reason why Bitcoin, by the way, just rose past $50,000 per Bitcoin. The reason for that is because people are now investing in some form of more solid asset than the United States dollar, given what the federal government is doing right now. By the way, according to the economic report, there were job losses in certain sectors. In the retail sector, almost 30,000 jobs lost. In the restaurant sector, 42,000 jobs lost. Okay, there were 36,000 jobs picked up in the entertainment sector. That's probably going to take a nosedive, considering that Joe Biden continues to shut down the economy. That's amazing. What the people in the media, they're going to attribute this to the Delta spike. The reality is that the only reason that you are seeing shutdowns right now and tremendous fear right now is because the media have made it seem as though even if you are vaccinated, you should be afraid. This goes back to a point I was making yesterday about COVID, which really is the salient point. If you had to draw a chart of the worried and the unworried when it comes to COVID, I'm actually going to do it for you right now. Okay, here we have a circle. It's the worried. Here we have a circle. It is the unworried. Okay? These are the two circles of the American population. Okay, the unworried contain some people who are vaccinated, right? I'm unworried and I'm vaccinated. So some part of this circle are the vaccinated, okay? But the rest of this circle are the unvaxxed. The entirety of the people who are unvaxxed are unworried. I say that because if they were worried, they would go get vaxxed. It is the best solution to your worry is to get vaxxed. Okay, but then if you look at the circle of the worried, the entire circle is vaccinated of the worried. Okay, the entirety of the circle is vaccinated. So right now, you have the Biden administration basically telling the vaccinated to shut down the economy, worry about the vaccinated, worry, 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 worry. Okay, but those are the people who shouldn't be worried. We're now at the point where if you are a sentient adult in the United States and you don't have some unbelievably severe pre-existing condition in which your doctor says you shouldn't get a vaccine, you now have the option to do whatever the hell you want. If the economy is shutting down, it's because of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's credibility is shredded. He said he was going to stop the virus. He has not. He said that he wasn't going to kill the economy. He has. He said that he was going to shore up our credibility on the international stage. Not only has he not done that, he's destroyed our credibility on the international stage. And now all the big hopes that he had for restructuring the nature of American government, they ride on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Okay, this is an unsuccessful failed presidency, and we are not even a year in. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. President Biden is directing the FBI to declassify documents related to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks.
The president's executive order comes a week before the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. For years, there's been a struggle between the government and the victims' families over what classified information could be made public. Many 9/11 families have long sought the records in hopes of implicating the Saudi government. The executive order requires the Attorney General to release the declassified documents publicly over the next 6 months. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Police are going door to door and drawing up lists of the missing as the death toll edges higher from the catastrophic flooding set off in the Northeast by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. At least 49 people in five states across the region so far confirmed dead. And in the Gulf Coast area, power should be restored to almost all of New Orleans by Wednesday. That'll be 10 days after Ida destroyed the city's electrical grid and left more than a million customers in Louisiana without power. Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent says President Biden has only himself to blame for the failed pullout from Afghanistan.
Talent says it seems every time President Biden tries to defend his actions in Afghanistan,
he digs the hole deeper. So the last speech was, it was a great success, and everybody but me is responsible for the failure.
Talent says the message is disappointing not only to Americans, but also to U.S. allies.
The administration is making it worse with everything that they do, undermining our credibility more.
Senator Talent was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Bob Agner reporting.
A small group of Afghan women protested near the presidential palace in Kabul Friday, demanding equal rights from the Taliban, as Afghanistan's new rulers work on forming a government and seeking international recognition. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
The European Union and UK-Swedish drugmaker AstraZeneca settled a dispute over a shortfall in coronavirus vaccines that affected the European rollout earlier this year.
This settlement appears to resolve the bitter dispute that broke out in the months after the UK had fully left the EU. In April, the European Commission had sued AstraZeneca after the company announced it would be delivering tens of millions fewer doses than expected. The manufacturer blamed production problems, but Brussels claimed it was because consignments for UK citizens were being prioritised unlawfully. The Commission said these doses would be vital in helping to boost the very different vaccination rates across the 27 EU member states.
That's the BBC's Nick Beek reporting. An extraordinary number of Ecuadorians have been coming to the U.S., often to New York. They surpassed El Salvador as the fourth largest nationality encountered by border authorities. Breaking news at townhall.com. E-commerce giant Alibaba Group says it will spend $15.5 billion to support President Xi Jinping's campaign to spread China's prosperity more evenly.
Alibaba's announcement adds to pledges by tech companies that are under pressure to pay for the ruling Communist Party's political initiatives. Alibaba says it'll invest in 10 projects for job creation. Alibaba and other Chinese tech giants, including games and social media service Tencent Holdings, have announced plans to invest in social welfare, technology development, and other ruling party priorities in response to pressure to align with Beijing's political and economic plans. Jeremy House reporting.
Apple is delaying its plan to scan U.S. iPhones for images of child sexual abuse, saying it needs more time to refine the system before releasing it. The company had revealed last month it was working on the software. News and analysis, townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
My mind's going blank now. What's the song that is played where everybody is on the chair, everybody, I can't remember it anyway. And that's the song that was played. So, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Is it the national anthem? Is it the Hokey Pokey? It's hard to say because Joe, his brain, she's a broke. And now, cat scratch fever. Is there a vaccine for cat scratch fever now? I think there is some kind of a medical treatment for cat scratch fever. Well, happy Friday unto you. Labor Day weekend is upon us. The official, but not meteorological, end of summer. A three-day weekend for many, if not most. High gas prices, thanks to Joe Biden, and inflation this Labor Day weekend. Everything will cost more because of Joe Biden. What is it, the highest gas prices on Labor Day weekend since 2014, I believe that I heard. Since 2014. Well, let's see, who was president in 2014, last time we had gas prices this high? No, not a problem. High gas prices, good, real good. It's better to have high gas prices. I saw that on MSNBC because, you know, the planet and global warming, and there was this storm in the north, and, New York and Connecticut, and people were killed. It was a big storm, and a flood, a police officer in Connecticut was swept away, big, strong man, and a whole lot of people were killed by this big storm. But a whole lot of people are killed by storms in Louisiana and Mississippi and in Florida. And it doesn't have the same impact on the New York-based media as a storm that goes through New York has, as you might imagine. Because then they're personally affected. And, you know, God knows they don't know anybody in Mississippi or anything like that. And they figure people live in Mississippi. They get what they bargain for. But in New York, don't you know who we are? We're important people. We went to all the right schools. And when a storm blows through, and it was a big storm, no doubt. I talked about how it ripped over our neighborhood night before last, and then it went through New York and Connecticut and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and it was a big violent storm. And the New York based news media, and of course Chuck Schumer and AOC, now they see global warming as the culprit here, because how could this happen were it not for one of their major political issues? And AOC and Schumer are even pushing the $3-point-whatever-trillion bill that has to go through, that they're pushing through now. They're trying to give us the bums rush and jam it down our throats, this $3-point-something, which will end up being $5 or $6 trillion once they add everything in. No problem, though. The news media likes it. And they need to pass that, AOC and Schumer are saying, because the storm, there was weather. Therefore, you need to pass their agenda because never let a crisis go to waste. This is an opportunity for them to push their agenda having to do with climate change and how they're going to fix it. They're going to bad weather, elect a Democrat, see, because they're going to fix the bad weather. They're going to have to empty your bank account and take half your paycheck. But then the weather will be better. This is what they're selling, and millions of people believe it, which is that speaks to the failures of our public schools, I think, more than anything, and the successes of Harvard and Yale. Not a failure at Harvard and Yale to put people out there who believe the incredible, the literally incredible, extraordinary stuff. So just scratching the surface, lots. We got Lunch Bucket Joe. Yesterday he said that that he had visited the synagogue outside of Pittsburgh where there was a horrible massacre several years ago. And Joe Biden explained that he had visited the synagogue, and the synagogue came out and said, I don't know what's going on with his memory, but based on our actual functional memory and everyone's memory at the Tree of Life Synagogue outside Pittsburgh, Joe Biden has never been here. But he said yesterday that he had visited the synagogue. His brain, she's a broke. She's a no good. We need a scan to see whether the squirrel died or something like that, because it's no longer running laps around the interior of his cranium. You know, like that motorcycle inside the globe at Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Remember that guy? That was a brave thing to do. That was pretty cool. That was good stuff. So, we got Joe Biden's memory on parade today. Not so good. He remembers things that he didn't do, and he doesn't remember things that he did do. And then this bizarro thing, Joe Biden surprised everybody after they put a lid on at the White House. Everybody knows what that is by now, right? Put a lid on. No more activity at the White House. President's tucked in. He's just going to watch Hazel in his slippers with the TV table and eat some Swanson's turkey dinners with that mashed potatoes. Remember that? I don't think those are real mashed potatoes. But he likes to sit around and watch reruns of Hazel and eats Swanson TV dinners. Then he said, hey, wait a minute. Let's go to Walter Reed Army Medical Center and visit some of the Marines that I left hanging in Kabul, and that'll be a good photo op for me. And so I went looking for that this morning to see that story because I heard he'd visit. And I went to the Google Monster and I was looking for the – I found another story about him last year talking to people from, of all things, the SEIU, the left-wing union run by radicals that funnel millions and millions of dollars. They take over big institutions with steady cash flows, the left does, so that they can funnel money to left-wing politicians so they can turn America into a left-wing country. SEIU is one of the left-wing groups leading the way on that. Big Obama sponsors, millions and millions poured in. But in any case, Joe Biden was talking to them, and he said some of the craziest wackadoodle stuff to these SEIU people. I want to share that with you. He is a kooky man. He's a goofy man. And he's got a weird fixation on sniffing and smelling and olfactory. He has an olfactory obsession, I think. That's very strange. Also, they have an obsession with abortion. We know this. God, they love abortion. It's like Al-Qaeda loves to say, we love death more than you love life. You know, the Democrat Party loves abortion so much. Roe versus Wade is their favorite short story. It's an amazing thing. And they're going crazy today because Texas passed a bill that restricts abortion to the first 6 weeks of pregnancy. And it's being hotly debated. The Democrats love it as a campaign issue for the midterm elections in 2020, and they believe that it will help, for example, Terry McAuliffe in the Commonwealth of Virginia this year. They have an off-year governor's election in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the Democrats think, oh, this will really be helpful for the Democrats because now we can go to war for abortion. We can jihad for abortion because they love abortion. They love third trimester abortion and abortion on demand, the pet taxpayer expense right up to the moment of birth. And we even have the current governor, Coonman, in the Klan uniform, just a historical Democrat costume. He was wearing it when he was in medical school, and his nickname is Coonman. And he is also can give you all kinds of lessons on blackface, what the best blackface materials are, things like that. But he's the one who's a pediatrician, said that when a baby's born, after they're born, you're going to have a discussion with the mother and decide whether you want to whack it with a meat tenderizer later on, do away with it, because that's the Democrat Party. But now there is this outrage going on because of the Texas bill. And the furious Democrats have taken to Al Gore's amazing internet, peace be upon him, and they're attacking, of all things, get a load of this, how crazy they are. They're attacking Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG, as they like to call her. And it's the headline at the Daily Wire is, I can't even read it, old, dead, white, beep, B-word there, they're slurring Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Leftists turn on late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg after Supreme Court refuses to block Texas heartbeat law. You see, they call it the heartbeat law because at 6 weeks is when you first can see a heartbeat and detect a heartbeat in the fetus and the little baby struggling to become a lawyer or a senator or a Supreme Court justice. But it's like that. Did I mention we're at 888-630-9625? 888-630-9625. And the story goes on. Leftists turned on the feminist hero and women's rights crusader, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, after the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 vote, refused to block the implementation of a Texas heartbeat bill. They think that the Supreme Court is there to advance the Democrat Party's agenda, and that if our Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG, were there, and the balance of court were different, see, now they're angry because she didn't retire when the left told her to, and this is a warning also to who? To who? Still on the Supreme Court? You better retire or we'll malign you in death as well. Because the left loves death more than we love life. At least it may seem that way a lot of the time. So they're angry because this 5-4 vote refused to block the implementation of the Texas heartbeat bill on September 1st. The day that the anniversary of the National Socialist German Workers' Party invading Poland and starting World War II in Europe. Just a coincidence, I think. Effectively banning most abortions after fetal cardiac activity can be detected. The Supreme Court was careful not to weigh in on the constitutionality of the Texas law, deciding its ruling on procedural grounds. So, I mean, this is, they're becoming hysterical over something that really didn't happen. They didn't decide on abortion, but they're yelling all over the place that the Republicans canceled Roe versus Wade. See, I told you they would, and that's, of course, not what happened. But the truth is not their lane, let's just say. So they're fuming and steaming and calling Ruth Bader Ginsburg all kinds of terrible names because they told her to retire early so that Barack Obama could replace her. But then she didn't retire early because she watched CNN, I think, and they told her that Hillary Clinton was guaranteed to win, and so did the Washington Post. So it would be fine. She'd be fine for another 4 years. But then Donald Trump became president, and he got 3 Supreme Court picks because, in large part, Mitch McConnell, the turtle, you know, he's slow. He's slow and steady, and he hangs his shell on the back of the door when he goes home at night. But he got President Trump 3 Supreme Court picks. And that changed the balance of the court from left to not left. And, you know, it turns out actually John Roberts, who was appointed by Bush, went with the 3 libs on this decision. That's why it was a 5-4 decision instead of a 6-3 decision, because conservative appointees tend to go with the law and the Constitution. Liberals go with the party line and liberal appointees, and that's what they expect of them. And they'll, you know, come to your house if you don't vote with them because they're crazy. So the Democrats are going after Ruth Bader Ginsburg and calling her all kinds of terrible names, calling her the B word and calling her, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg really, really should have stepped down, one angry leftist said. When you're a leader of people with lives in your hands, that's they have no sense of irony, do they? No sense of irony. You have to do what's best for them, always. She didn't. You see, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg categorical refusal to retire brought us here, angry leftists are saying. So thanks, you old dead white beep, because I sniffed a self-described feminist. This is the Daily Wire story. They went online to see what liberals were saying. And then they're angry because folks blaming Bernie for what happened in Texas is ridiculous. See, because Bernie Sanders ran against Hillary Clinton, and so lefties are angry with Bernie for running against Hillary. And then people voted for Bernie, and Hillary lost, and Trump won. So they're angry with Hillary. Then the angry Hillary people are yelling back at the angry Bernie people because, here's the short version, because they're all crazy. Because I don't know what happened to the Democratic Party, but they've all gone completely crazy. And now they're really angry with Justice Stephen Breyer, and they want him to resign right now so Joe Biden, whose brain doesn't work at all, can replace him, you know, maybe with Hunter Biden. I think he went to law school, didn't he? And he's a crackhead, and he could rule on crack things and stuff. So the Democrats are going crazy because abortion, and because Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't do what they wanted, and now Justice Stephen Breyer's not doing what they wanted, and they're really furious because they say that the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. Only one problem. The Supreme Court didn't do anything of the kind. They just didn't do anything of the kind. And Texas, and Joe Biden is talking about, and who's it? They got these Democrats who are saying that Joe Biden should create an army of federal government doctors that will go around the country and perform abortions, where it's illegal, I guess, to perform abortions. Is that right? Because they're crazy. I mean, honestly, that's, they're talking about creating, like, you know, the abortion corps. You know, you got the Peace Corps, have like, wow. Yeah, it's there's an organization called Save the Children. Maybe you shouldn't call on them. Maybe not. Amazing stuff. These Democrats are pretty wacky. And even USA Today fact checked the Democrats today, saying no, the Supreme Court did not overturn Roe versus Wade. Even USA Today said no, they didn't overturn Roe versus Wade. And they're crazy. Also, the Joe Biden in Afghanistan, he's doing such a great job as president, isn't he? How's the news media covering that, you know, the bombshell reports, the transcript of the phone call between Joe Biden and Ghani, the now escaped former president of Afghanistan? You know how the media covered that? I've got that coming up. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
The Labor Day event's here at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Shop 40 through 70% off almost everything. Plus tanks from $5, shorts from $10, and jeans from $20. Through September 7th at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com.
Are you stuck in a timeshare and tired of the mortgage payments or never-ending maintenance fees? Were you misled or want out? The Titan Exit Group can legally and permanently terminate your timeshare. Get a free consultation and information that shows you how. Think of how good it will feel not to have to pay those monthly maintenance fees, mortgage payments, or taxes. The Titan Exit Group has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and gives you real financial relief. Ready to put that cash back in your pocket? Find out how, absolutely free, by calling 800-200-0894. 800-200-0894. Legally terminate your timeshare with the timeshare termination experts. The Titan Exit Group is friendly and here to help. Get all of your questions answered in the first free call. Legally terminate your timeshare. Call 800-200-0894. For a free consultation, call now. 800-200-0894. That's 800-200-0894.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Start fall with everything to do business better during Dell Technologies Labor Day event. Save up to 45% on select business PCs with Windows 10 Pro. Power your workday with savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories, plus free shipping on everything. Do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Labor Day event.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Limu. And Doug.
Check it out, Limu. A roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength. Come see the fire-breathing baby.
let's fan out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look! An emu wearing sunglasses!
Lemo, you're famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
The Labor Day event's here at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Shop 40 through 70% off almost everything. Plus tanks from $5, shorts from $10, and jeans from $20. Through September 7th at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At Finance Pal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At Finance Pal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized. Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325. Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DinoVite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Yeah, and in New York, it turns out it's being widely reported that there are a lot of illegal basement apartments in New York because, you know, it's New York. And you're not allowed to rent things out, and the government controls your every motion. And a lot of the people that died because of the flooding died in, at least a number of the people that died in basement apartments that were being illegally leased and don't have proper exits and things like that. So, you know, welcome to New York. Have a nice day. I hurt New York. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to, we're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Charlie calling from Bowie, Maryland. Charlie, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Listen, I was just curious, with all of those Muslims that were evacuated without papers and things, how do they do a background check on them? There's nobody in Afghanistan to call and do a background check, you know, door to door. And
we just have to trust that the Biden administration and the federal government are deeply concerned about doing the right thing and crossing T's and dotting I's and getting it right. Now, we were told that when planes were arriving at Dulles Airport and they were bringing people to the Dulles Expo Center, that the people had been unvetted, and the pilot was complaining that they had to sit on the tarmac for hours and hours and hours with no food and no water, and they don't know if people are vaccinated, and they don't know if people have COVID, and the pilots are trapped on the airplanes, the flight crews are trapped on the airplanes, and they said that they just don't know. They don't know whether the people will be allowed into the country, don't know whether they actually are special visa holders, and special immigrant visa holders, and they don't know. The reality is that, Charlie, we don't know. We just don't know.
Yeah, there was another comment I had about, you know, they evacuated an awful lot of Muslims, again, without documentation. Well, what about the Christians? I mean, they are really in danger there. You don't I haven't heard any reports about how many Christians were evacuated.
I haven't heard a single report about that, to tell you the truth. There is a headline. There is a headline today. As Christians in Afghanistan fight for their lives, U.S. Christians to march and pray in Washington, D.C., and Afghanistan, Christianity's survival on a knife edge. You know, this is these are the Democrats here. They think differently.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighty, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Break right now, but we'll get to your calls.
It's hard to find at this moment in time, but the new jobs report for the month of August came out. And economists, I was hearing about it all week, about how the jobs numbers were going to be really great at the end of this week. And I watch some CNN and MSNBC, and I read the Washington Post. And I was assured again and again that we were going to see 800,000 jobs. It was going to shatter records. It was going to be really great. Joe Biden would have a parade for himself and then forget about it moments later. And it turns out that the official prognostication, the economists who forecast these things, said that we should expect the report to say that we had added 725,000 jobs. The numbers just came out a short time ago. And the number is 235,000 jobs, not 725,000 jobs, as the genius all went to the right schools economists had prognosticated, had predicted. Economists forecast 725,000 jobs. The actual August jobs report number comes out adding 235,000 jobs. That is a huge, gigantic miss. Of nearly 500,000. I mean, it's, you know, come on, you have to triple the number that we actually got to match what the what we were being told earlier this week we should expect. Big miss. The unemployment rate is now 5.2%. And instead of adding 750,000 jobs, nearly, which is what they told us, we've gotten fewer than 250,000 jobs. So, Heck of a job there. That's great. Those are our prognosticators, the economists and the media, sharing all that good stuff with us. And this is obviously very real. Also, I went looking for the numbers on this morning in the phony baloney news media. And if you look at unemployment, Biden unemployment, give it a Google, give it a search here. Biden policies will hurt America's laborers in the long run. But like, wait a minute, where are the jobs numbers now? Unemployment benefits to millions are about to end, the New York Times headline from 16 hours ago. But where are all the numbers now? I go to news and there's nothing there. I look for Biden jobs and there's nothing there because it's bad news. And there are no blaring headlines all over the place. Ha! Huge miss. Biden's economy sucks. There's none of that. Because, you know, Democrats run the machine. It's quite a remarkable thing. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Let me tell you. Jobs report disappoints. Only 235,000 positions added. Expectations of 720,000. CNBC now has an item on it. CNBC posted a story on it. Non-farm payroll growth in August. Gee, I wonder if this has anything to do with the extended and augmented federal unemployment benefits, an additional $300 per week per person in the household. You think that's keeping people home? Nah, not a chance. Not a chance. You see all the signs in the front of every restaurant, every 7-Eleven, every place you go, every fast food place. There are signs saying help wanted, and they're paying more money. And then I saw Biden laugh about this recently when somebody asked about people not applying for jobs and not taking these jobs. He laughed and said something about employers paying more. So this is kind of a backdoor Bernie Sanders effort to drive businesses, to compel and force businesses, to coerce businesses into paying more than they ought to pay for minimum wage jobs and that sort of stuff, because they're commies, I think, is the short version, because they're a bunch of commies. Remarkable stuff. But when you're a Democrat, this is not a big problem for you, honestly, like so many different things. Speaking of not having a big problem, it's quite remarkable what the Democrats can get away with. One of the big stories out today, and this is a big story, at least it ought to be a very big story, that the news media, you know, the phone call that Joe Biden made with the now former fled with $169 million U.S. taxpayer dollars, president of Afghanistan, Ghani. Joe Biden had this conversation with him on the telephone where he was urging him to come up with a different narrative and claim, as he wanted to claim falsely to the American people, that the Afghan army was up to the task of taking on the Taliban, because he was about to tell us that lie. So he got on the phone with Ghani of Afghanistan, and he told him, you know, let's gin up a phony story here. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially it. And it's a big, big story. President Trump was impeached over less. And the Democrats, the news media, they'll defend anything, and they're defending this as well. But here's the story only at Fox News, not at the Washington Post, because the Washington Post isn't covering the story. CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC avoid Biden's bombshell phone call urging Afghan president to push stability perception. You see, and because he told him we need to create the perception that there's stability, because I'm about to pull the plug on this operation. So come along with me on this big lie, and then we'll reward you somewhere down the line. Ghani warned Biden in July, quote, we're facing a full-scale invasion, end quote, by the Taliban and other terrorist organizations, according to the Reuters news organization, which got a hold of the transcript of the phone call leaked by someone. Surprise, surprise. There appears to be a media blackout in the bombshell report of a leaked July phone call between President Biden and then Afghan President Ashraf Ghani. Now, I seem to remember the news media kind of going crazy over the transcript. Remember Lieutenant Colonel Vindman? He was a hero, Alex Vindman. And he's a hero, too. He's a hero to the news media and the Democrats, because he leaked a transcript of a phone call between President Trump. And then he lied about it under oath before a congressional committee with no consequences. Well, the consequence was he got a book deal. And was padded his bank account, thanks to Democrats who run publishing houses. Reuters shared transcript excerpts on Tuesday of a July 23rd exchange where Biden appeared to urge Ghani to push the perception of stability in Afghanistan amid the U.S. military withdrawal, regardless of the reality on the ground. Biden said, I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, that as things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban, Biden said. And there is a need, he said, whether it's true or not, there is a need to project a different picture, whether it's true or not. Now, he's caught red-handed here. Am I right about this? He's caught red-handed. And what happened? What did the news media do? Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look at the number of minutes. No, let's take a look at the number of seconds that the networks spent covering the story. The Reuters story, big story. We talked about it here. Fox News has talked about it. If you don't get your news from Fox News, from Newsmax, by the way, I was on Newsmax last night with Sean Spicer on the Sean Spicer Show, 6 p.m. hour Eastern time, for a brief period of time, from home on my iPad. It's amazing. You can have a television studio in your home now. What a world. What a planet. How did this happen? But it turns out, jumping to the chase here, CNN spent 0 seconds on the story. MSNBC spent 0 seconds on the story. He's telling the Afghan president that we need to create a lie. And then Joe Biden came out and told us the lie when the president of Afghanistan was telling him that they're being overrun, in effect. And Joe Biden said, yeah, regardless of what's true, we need to create a perception, a false perception, that everything's going great because I'm pulling out and it's important to me politically.
Remain calm.
And his perfect execution of their most excellent withdrawal from Afghanistan, he should probably get the Nobel Peace Prize for this, and he might, because that's a funny organization, too. They've embarrassed themselves again and again. But CNN, MSNBC, 0 seconds. ABC News, George Stephanopoulos, Clinton administration official, is their chief anchor, I think, for most things. Then they have that Dondi boy in the skinny suit, David Muir, in the evening. ABC, 0 seconds. CBS, 0 seconds. NBC, 0 seconds. You're not going to find a big story on in the front page of the Washington Post today either. This is why you may occasionally hear me say it's good to be a Democrat, because this is a monolithic leviathan of a corrupt fourth estate that is owned and operated in a voluntary way by the Democratic Party and the DNC. Now, again, President Trump's phone call to a Ukrainian president, Biden met with the Ukrainian president day before yesterday. The question of Hunter Biden's employment with the Ukrainian oil and gas company that paid him and his buddy about $1 million a year to do nothing for a no-show job. Never been to Ukraine, not that any reporters ever asked about that, because, you know, Fox News and Newsmax can't ask every question at the White House briefing, but just amazing. Biden's critics have compared the phone call Joe Biden had with Ghani, former President Trump's 2019 phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. And Volodymyr Zelensky was in the White House day before yesterday. And you may recall Joe Biden didn't take any questions. The reporters actually started yelling some questions, but the White House press staff yelled at them and shouted them down and herded them out of the office so that Joe Biden didn't have to ask any answer any questions, rather, that might be inconvenient. Not that they were going to ask him about Hunter Biden and his employment in Ukraine, because that's not a story that they covered. They covered up that story. They covered that story, you know, like Betty Davis covers a baby's face in a bassinet with a pillow.
Thank you. Much to talk about.
Here he is with Zelensky.
Thank you all very much.
Questions. Biden doesn't take questions. Shouting them down, the White House press office staff, U.S. government employees, shouting down the Fourth Estate to prevent them from asking questions of the President of the United States when he's meeting with the Ukrainian president, the same man that President Trump was impeached for having a telephone conversation with, the same country that paid the Biden family millions of dollars for a no-show job in an industry where Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, had never worked. I'm an oil and gas man. I'm the vice chairman of the, I'm the sheriff and the mayor. Reminds me of Mordecai from High Plains Drifter. I'm the sheriff and the mayor. I'm a oil and gas man. He's not an oil and gas man. I'm the vice chairman of the board of Amtrak. I'm a train man. I'm a railroad man. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, rather, is a crackhead and a stripper knocker-upper. Do you think Joe Biden knows the name of his granddaughter that was born to the stripper? That would be a question worth asking, but no one will ask it. If Peter Ducey doesn't ask it, no one will ask it. Boy, I'm telling you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bob. Let's go to, also there are new poll numbers out. And it's an NPR poll. And it's very bad news. Very bad news for Joe Biden. I've got that coming up as well. Yeah, NPR, because, you know, left-wingers, hardcore left-wingers funded by the taxpayers to spread Democrat Party propaganda in every big city and small hamlet across America. And the Republicans somehow allow this, and they've been allowing it for decades now, because the Republicans, you know, don't appear to be up to the task either. All right, let's go to Let's see. Let's go to Robert calling from Waldorf, Maryland. Robert, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. I've heard a rumor, and I wanted to run this by you and see if you know this to be fact or not, that the Democrat Party has mailed out millions of absentee ballots in Virginia, and they've allowed and put the drop boxes in place in Virginia. If that's true, does Mr. Youngkin honestly believe that he has a chance in hell of winning the next election, or are these people totally tards? I mean, come on. If that's true, what the hell are these people doing?
I don't know if that's true. You bring that up, and I don't know that is true, but I can assure you that I will check on that. And if and look, this is the Democrats' new plan. They love, this is what they're, I was talking about it yesterday. They're furious at Texas, the Democrats are, because of the abortion bill that was passed. And they're also furious because, remember when the Democrats in Austin, Texas fled the state and came to Washington for a crack and hooker party for weeks on end at taxpayer expense with the private jets without the masks and the case of beer and all that stuff. They were fleeing the state because they didn't want a vote on a voting bill, which undid some of the things that we implemented because the Wuhan Red Death in last year's election in 2020. But what the Washington Post was really angry with is that it stops 24-hour voting, stops drive-through voting. And what was the third thing that they were very upset about? Drive-through voting, 24-hour voting, and like these most ridiculous things that are obviously not necessary to have an election, but the Democrats want to have 24-hour voting. They want to have drive-through voting. We had a caller come. We should have. What they say? Chick-fil-A should run the drive-through voting. It'd be run more efficiently. But I'll tell you what, Robert. I will look into whether in Virginia they're putting out the drop boxes and doing the mail-out ballots, not mail-in ballots, but mail-out to everybody who ever registered or everybody they have living in any at any address. And it doesn't matter whether you're still living, whether you still live in the state, whether you have two homes, whether you live part-time in the state, they mail out the ballots. But you're right, of course, that the Republicans are not up to the task of fighting the fight. That much I can tell you. Robert, thank you for the call, and I'm going to look into that, because this is what they do. And the drop boxes, they love the drop boxes too, these unattended mailboxes in effect that they scatter all over the place with nobody watching. So somebody come up with bundles of ballots that they get from homeless shelters to the lobbies of apartment buildings or wherever they get them, and just drop them in these unmonitored boxes. And hey, wait a minute, that guy just put 100 ballots in the box. What's with that? Well, ballot harvesting is okay, because they like ballot harvesting. They like the drop boxes. They like 24-hour voting. They like drive-through voting. What was the other things? They were completely ridiculous objections that Texas had tapped the brakes on. Remarkable stuff. That's it, I'm telling you. Absolutely crazy. Oh, look at the clock. Look what I did to the clock. I cremated it again. All right, don't go anywhere. We've got tons of audio for you. Joe Biden and Joe Biden's approval rating in a national panhandler radio poll. Not good news for the Democrats, but they're very happy that they can run on abortion because of the Texas bill. They're angry with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and now they're angry, and she's not even with us anymore. And now they're yelling at Stephen Breyer because, you know, abortion. They like it a lot. On demand, up to the last moment, third trimester. They lit up the Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building over there. Remember that? Very excited. Yes, sir. We're at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Everyone's dream is different. Build wealth for whatever matters to you with GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Whether you want to buy your dream home, give your child a great education, save for retirement, become your own boss, or take the vacation of a lifetime, GetInvestmentAdvice.com works hard to help you reach your goals. Their innovative investment and financial solutions can help you manage your money to build a better future for you and your family. Visit GetInvestmentAdvice.com to get started today. That's GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Paid for by IP Financial Advisory Services, LLC.
Prescription products require an online consultation. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
My husband's ED was affecting our marriage. When he first started experiencing ED, it was difficult for both of us. We didn't know who to talk to about it or where to get help. Hims was our answer. Hims connected my husband with a licensed provider online. He was able to get medication to treat his ED at a fraction of the price people pay for the name brand. It was delivered to our door, and guess what? Our sex life is back. It works.
Right now, get your first online provider's visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. Yep, free. No copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. Just the care you need.
Thanks to Hims, we got our sex life and our marriage back.
To start your free online visit, go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. FORHIMS.com/JOY.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Doug.
And we're back with Limu, Emu, and Doug for the final question. Category is things you climb.
All right, Limu, what do you think? You sure? We're going with Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Oh, so close. We were looking for stairs.
Huh. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Angie's List is now Angie. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or you're planning your dream renovation, Angie connects you with top local pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, compare quotes, and book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
For 5 years, Zach moved in and out of foster care.
I felt alone. Every day felt like a lost cause.
Thankfully, Zach was adopted with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. Today, he is studying to be a teacher, just like his mom. Zach has a bright future, but every year, thousands of youth age out of foster care without a permanent family. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Yes. Well, why would we not all have complete and utter faith in our system of elections? I looked it up. They do have the drop boxes all over Virginia. The drop boxes. Democrats love those because nobody's watching. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lee calling from Leesburg, Virginia. Lee, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hello, Chris. Good morning. Good to talk to you again.
Welcome. I'm afraid I only have about a minute, but I want to let you take it.
Okay, let's go for this. Okay. As Robert was making his statement on the ballots and the absentee ballots, et cetera, look, I am a newly minted election officer in Loudoun County, Virginia.
I have only a minute, less than that now.
Yes, okay. And it's not quite as easy as he's making it up to be to make an illegal ballot. And one thing, I just to make this fast, if we have enough Republicans who are poll watchers and election officials such as myself, you can stop this from happening in Virginia.
Are they doing mail-out ballots this year, Lee?
Yes, they are doing mail-out ballots this year.
All right, so they have mail-out ballots and drop boxes. And that's what Robert was talking about, I think.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.